Good morning. Welcome to the March 3rd, 2020 Design Review Board meeting. Noting that we do have a quorum in attendance today. We have one board member that will not be in attendance, Mr. Kriplin, but that still leaves us with six board members, enough to vote positively on any design review or variance application. Before I get to introducing our newest board member, just to go over again, any application containing a variance requires five votes for it to pass, and any application requiring a design review requires four. In applications that have a variance and the design review approval as part of the request, pursuant to the city attorney's recommendation, we request two different motions for the approval. So first the motion for the variance application, and then variance, then a motion for the design review portion of the application. So I will let, prior to introduction of Sarah Nelson, I'll let the city attorney swear us in.
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'd like to start out by swearing in any members of the public, any members of staff who will be providing testimony today. Please raise your right hands. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. And next, I'll read our notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you're appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should go downstairs and register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance, to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they're communicating. If you're an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. And next, Mr. Chair, since all of our vacancies have been filled, it would be appropriate today to elect the chair and vice chair of the board. We've prepared written ballots for the board members. Have those been passed out or not yet? They can be. Okay. So what we can do in this, in the way we handle elections of the chair is that we first ask the board members if they'd like to nominate either themselves or another individual member. Once we have a name or a list of names of individuals who have been nominated for the position of chair and vice chair, then we'd ask the board members to vote by writing the name of the individual they would select as chair on the written ballot, and then staff or I will read the ballots and tally the votes. So I'd like to start out by asking if there are any nominations for the position of chair of the Design Review Board.
I'll nominate Jim.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well, then there would seem to be no need for a written ballot. So would the board like to appoint Mr. Bodner as chair by acclamation?
Yes.
Okay. And for vice chair, any nominations?
I'll nominate Marsh.
Okay. Any other nominations? So would the board like to hold off on the appointment of the vice chair? Okay, we can do that next month. So we'll place an item on the agenda, just at the top of the agenda for next month. Okay, congratulations.
Congratulations. And with that, let me introduce our newest board member, Sarah Nelson, who was appointed at the last city commission meeting and is a resident and an architectural historian. If you can give a few words about yourself.
Should I start over? Okay. So in the 1990s, my grandfather, Norman Giller, actually conceived of and founded the Design Review Board. So it means so much to me to be able to continue on in his legacy and his desire to continue to ensure that our community has wonderful examples of good design that benefits residents, visitors, homeowners, business owners, et cetera. So thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So with that, we can start our regular agenda. First, we have the minutes from the February 4th, 2020 meeting.
I move. Second.
You move.
Okay, I'll move.
I'll second.
All in favor of approval of the after action?
Aye.
The minutes are passed. Next, we have some previously continued items that I'll call up at the same time. Do we have the representative for the two citywide distributed antenna systems in attendance? I don't see the applicant here. Mr. Chair, if it's okay, may I table these items and continue down with the agenda? Next, we have, is there an applicant here for 6080 Collins Avenue? We had reached, oh, great.
For the record, my name is Michael Weiner with a business address at Boca Raton, Florida. I'm here on behalf of La Guerce Association. We are opposed to this particular application for a variance. And this is the second time we've been here, and we would like to proceed.
Great, thank you.
There are people here from the association who would like to testify also. Thank you.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? Could you specify your opposition?
Excuse me?
Could you make clear your opposition?
Yes, I make clear my opposition.
What is the opposition?
We have a prepared presentation. If you would like it now, we're more than happy to give it.
Not now, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So we had received a correspondence from the applicant's representative, Mr. Damian Gallo, that they would be seeking a continuance to the April 7th meeting in order to address the concerns from the neighboring properties. They were put on alert that someone should be at this meeting requesting that hearing, continuance request, but I don't see anyone in the audience.
So what are our options?
Well, you could wait to see if the applicant decides to appear at the meeting later in the day, at which point you could address the application and the request for continuance. You could also, if the board is inclined to grant the continuance, and we are certain that the applicant would be requesting a continuance today, then the board could move to continue the item to the next month's meeting.
Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to speak at this time?
Good morning. My name is Benjamin Baum. I live at a condominium across the street. I filled out the proper documentation. This has been an ongoing situation of continuing. I'm for growth, but there's a particular limit as to what it starts to impose on or destroy. And in this case, more lights, more signs. It's not Ocean Drive, Washington Avenue, down at 5th or 10th Street. So in a residential high-rise area, more lights, more signs, it starts to destroy the quality of life. These same individual and the company that wanted to put the sign up last time saw us show up. They declined to present or postponed or whatever. Now again, with communication from us in the last 48 hours, they then know we're showing up again, and so I take time off from work. I'm not a city official. I'm a private business person. So this takes time and time and time and more time. We happen to have some pictures of what they're maybe where they're trying to put it. But what bothers me is this is a successful business, this Starbucks location in one of the nicest hotels, 6080, the design hotel, if you've never been there. It's a beautiful property. They followed the rules of trying to how to be a good neighbor. We followed rules how to be a good neighbor. And yet we have this continual delay until they say, well, maybe Mr. Baum or our representation isn't going to show up. I've lived in the city for a long time. I appreciate the process and the opportunity to voice my opinion. These are just plain facts. This is the second time in 6 or 7 weeks that they have either refused to show up or given no reason for cause not to show up for a variance of a sign that we could accept the minimum, which they should be doing, but apparently a variance means they want to do more. If you want to do more, you have to be present to win. They're not here. I actually disagree with the thought, with all due respect, that without their representation, how does anybody really know they want a continuance or a postponement? I don't agree with that particular opinion, although this is why we're here.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? If not, I'm going to close the... Go ahead, please. Have you been sworn in?
I'm just a resident. I'm not a signed in lobbyist, so can I speak?
I don't think you've been sworn in yet.
I haven't been sworn in, I guess not.
Sure. Could you raise your right hand? Anybody else who's not yet been sworn in, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry. My name is Terry Ancona. I'm a resident at Lagoras Palace, which is in the neighborhood of 6080. And with the advice from the city about this request for a variance, of course, I was curious because our neighborhood, as many in that area, are constantly developing and updating and improving. But in some instances, it is necessary to pay attention to some of these details. And the variance means a change to a rule. Rules matter. In this particular case, this concerns lighting. And we were interested in knowing what this would do to affect, you know, our daily life, our evening life, because those lights reflect in the neighborhood. So in this instance, that's why we're concerned. We need to be vigilant and to pay attention to what happens to maintain the quality of life in the neighborhood. And so that's why I'm here, and to challenge the request and to and ask Starbucks or anyone else to actually follow the rules and that this variance request actually not be given. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion of this presentation and turn over the board for comment. James, could you give a little background on this one just so we have history?
Sure. The real distinguishing thing with this project is it's zoned RM2 as opposed to the RM3 designation, which is on the other side of Collins Avenue. That said, the RM2 zoning regulations have a more limited array of signage regulations than an RM3 or a commercial district. By and large, this project is fairly simple. We all know Starbucks. We've all been to a Starbucks. And Starbucks has typically two signage components to their brand. One is the lettering that says Starbucks. The second is the medallion that usually displays the mermaid woman and just with no text. That alone would require a variance, since the RM2 zoning district only allows one sign for an accessory use to a hotel. They want to do both. Once we understand that since the RM2 requires a variance to have more than one sign, we then have to allow it square footage that normally it doesn't get, the zero. By and large, the signage isn't that excessive. If you remove the zoning district from it, it measures pretty much standard to what we'd like to review for a design review for the size of the letters and the length of it. It's designed with a backlit kind of plate so that the illumination can go from within, and the medallion is also fairly nondescript. which is why staff is supportive of the application.
Just add one last note. Thanks, James. The actual variance, as James mentioned, is to have an additional sign. An additional sign is just over 3 square feet. So, and it's also located not at the at the eyebrow level, which is the main sign. It's located in the window at about the elevation of 6 feet. So it's not even something that's elevated. It's pretty innocuous in terms of its location. And there's no other accessory uses within the hotel. If there were other accessory uses along that frontage, they could have signage as well. But in this instance, this is the only accessory use to the hotel and thus the only accessory sign that's allowed. So for that reason, we had recommended in favor of it, as well as the fact that it is a halo sign. So the sign, the lighting will glow to a backdrop versus front lit signage, which is something that we require from a design standpoint for any properties facing a residential district.
And our only option is to wait to see if they show up or approve it?
The application was properly noticed for today's meeting. So, you know, it's really up to the board whether to continue it to a future date.
Or hear it and act on it.
I wouldn't recommend hearing and acting on it without the applicant present.
When did this applicant ask for a continuance? And while you're looking at that, I just want to give a little background. I was in the sign business, family business. We did work in Miami Beach in the 80s and 90s, and we never got a variance for anything ever. And I find it appalling. This is such a simple thing that they're doing two continuances. To me, this is evasion of neighborhood input.
So we have an email dated Thursday the 27th, and it says, "Good morning, Mr. Murphy and Mrs. Sotelo Chotel. I wanted to ask if we would be allowed to defer our DRB request to be heard in April's hearing instead. We are still working with the neighbors in hopes of finding a resolution sometime in March. Any questions or concerns, please let me know. Thank you, the representative." And my staff responded, "Good morning. Yes, please have someone present at the meeting to request the continuance."
Have they been working with you?
I had one conversation where I called the attorney representing the landowner or the tenant. I'm not quite certain which one they represent. And I told him that we would be here. And he said, "We're thinking about withdrawing," is basically the conversation. I really do believe that's a rather cavalier attitude when, in fact, this was postponed the last time. So we did reach out to them. There's been a lot of discussion where you're now placing the matter and its substance ahead of even the vote with respect to postponing it. I say, quite honestly, and I disagree with Mr. Gilagris, that we are now at a point where we cannot and should not postpone this. They've had fair notice. They were asked to have someone come here. We are here for the second time. The public is here. I am here. If it was that important to them, they would certainly be paying more attention to it than they are presently. I really think that, quite honestly, this is disrespectful to the city and to city staff. So I have a presentation. You've already heard the staff's presentation as a recommendation. It seems to me that it's important now that we go forward with it. I don't want to leave the impression where we don't even get a chance to answer what's been stated about this particular sign and the sign variance request.
Thank you. James, is it an option that we not allow it to go forward and that they can reapply for the sign later? So that seems like a logical course.
All right.
In other words, is the chair proposing that the board take no action on the application And then the applicant can refile. Is that what staff's recommendation?
I think that is an option, but they would have to file a new application and be renoticed. So it would be probably 3 or 4 months from now if they were to file a new application.
Is there, may I ask, is there anything in the local code that says that there is a time period they must wait before they reapply?
No, it's only if the board denies it with prejudice, which is the default. Now, what they could have done, which they didn't do, is there is a provision in the code that allows a deferment. It's a paid deferment. You pay $1,500, and it's as of right. And the board does not take any action on that, and it's, but they did not do that. So that's why it's up to the board to make the decision.
Has the applicant met all the required timelines and dates for requesting these continuances and everything? Are they by right in the right to ask for this postponement or deferment?
Yeah, because you can ask for a continuance.
Well, then there's nothing we can, you know, what we can't make up rule. We have to follow the rules. So
do they not have to be here in person to ask for a continuance? Technically,
they should be here. They should be here whether they're here to present their application or whether they're here to request a continuance.
Correct.
The only thing that we have is a written request that the board consider in its discretion granting a continuance of the application. But as Michael Belush pointed out, the applicant had the opportunity to pay a fee to continue the application as of right and did not do that.
So perhaps we call the applicant right now and tell them if they make it by the end of the meeting, we'll consider their continuance, and if they do not, then take another action. But I don't think this is fair to the public, and I don't think it's respectful of the process.
Well, then you're going to have the public sit here all day and wait for these guys to show up?
I mean, at least they're asking for a continuance in person. I'm new to this rodeo, so you tell me, but I don't think that this should be rewarded.
I think the board could continue it. You know, you could continue it till next month or 2 months from now or 3 months from now.
Or the board could take no action.
So what happens if an applicant doesn't request a continuance and they don't show up and their item comes up and they're not here? What do we do normally?
We normally continue it.
We just continue it.
I mean, you know, there may be a third option, which is to say that the board could move now to continue the application to the April meeting on the condition that they've got to show up at the April meeting. The only thing that may be slightly different here is we do have a written request for a continuance. Whether they should have been here, I think, is a valid question. But you have a written request here, and you know, I think you should take that into account.
Is there another option where we vote to give them no more continuances? This is a terminal. This is the last continuance we'll issue on this project.
Sure. If the board as a body decides, you know, we're going to deal with this by April, that's your prerogative.
If I might say, first of all, the public unfortunately did not arrange their schedule for the purposes of trying to wait for this particular applicant to show up. And they have devoted a lot of time and effort, including being here for the February meeting. I honestly think they were asked to be here. The last time we were here, and all of us were here for that last time, Mr. Murphy came to us and we said, fine, we understand, we'll come back. We come back, we have a couple of conversations with them. I had to call them. They did not call me. Mr. Murphy, did we get a copy of that request for the postponement? Is my email on there or any of the members on there?
No.
Mr. Chair, I understand that the applicant is on his way. So if you'd like to take up the next application and then we can address this in fairness to the public who's taken time out of their days to appear.
Is your time certain?
If you'd like to assign it one, you can.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, okay.
Yeah, we'll vote on this at 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're also going to be in contact with the antenna nodes to see where they are. So the next item is the first new application, DRB file number 19-0395, 426 West San Marino Drive. The staff report for this can be found on page 39 of the distributed agenda package. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story single-family residence to replace an existing one-story architecturally significant pre-1942 residence, including one or more waivers and an understory area. Specifically today, the applicant is seeking relief of two of the design aspects of the land development regulations for single-family homes. One is the limitation that the second floor be 70% enclosed to this ratio to the first floor below it. The next is a RS3 height waiver for an additional 4 feet of height. Finally, what's before this board for review is the understory area, which is a recently adopted ordinance that allows a more active, habitable living area underneath the first habitable floor of a two-story structure. All three of the requests are supported by staff, and if you have any questions, feel free to answer, and we'll let the architect make the presentation.
Good morning. Jose Sanchez with Praxis Architecture. If we could have the presentation, please, the PowerPoint. Okay. This is the front of the house. I will start by going over the context, which can be seen best, I guess, in the aerial view on the top right. It's the property in the center. We have a new house on the east side on the right. A tall, appears to be maximum height, and with a large blank wall facing our site. On the west side, there's a contemporary house, smaller, probably 15, 20 years old. The one on the right side, it appears to be like 4 or 5 years old. The lot is facing north or slightly northwest, a pie-shaped lot with a very narrow front, as all of these lots at the end of the island, 47 feet in width, and it opens up to 100 feet. That's the lot. Here we can see that's the existing house. It's, I guess you could say, a Palladian revival with odd proportions and detailing. And here are some of the neighboring houses. Here's the contextual rendering showing the two adjacent houses, which the one on the east side, it's covered with landscaping, cannot be seen much. And the one on the left side on the east has a front privacy wall. We have decided to set the property back, the privacy wall, perhaps some 20, 30 feet to allow the house to be wider and have a better width and allow for more landscaping, which is not shown here for clarity. But ideally, it would the landscaping in the front of the property, which will look like the parkway or an enlarged parkway, will blend in to some extent with the property on the east side. And by setting the house in, we allow, with only an access drive of 9 feet in width as required, for the additional planting. And also the house, or that corner of the house, as you turn the curve, it will look less congested as it looks now. Continuing into the as the front of the house, but I will go to the plan to explain the house, and then we can go back to the exterior. Here in the ground floor, you can see the privacy wall recessed with a step design, and the access drive that leads into the front of the house, the area for parking, for four parking spaces with non-tandem situation, and I hope probably more, six parking spaces, and the access stairs to the right, to the west side, and a drop-off area, or you can drop off and access the stairs. And the main terrace and the casual living areas, and of course in the waterfront side, and on the pool side. So the site is relatively porous, as it should be for the understory houses, and as we normally do, not only in Miami Beach. But with the enclosed garage screening somewhat the cars from the living areas. In the first floor, as you go up the stairs, you find basically the four main spaces in an open space just with a partial division. So you have in approximately close to 80 feet, you have your living, dining, family, and kitchen to enjoy the million-dollar views. That's the main criteria for the organization of the spaces. And from there, you go in. Well, there is a rectangular area of services, a core service areas with the hot kitchen, laundry, maids, etc. And you move to an informal living room, which is a transitional space in the center of the house. It's an H shape, a regular H in shape. And from that informal living room, you distribute to three main bedrooms, three bedrooms in the ground floor facing to the front, where hopefully we'll have some canopy of trees and palms, and it's the best view that we can get for the bedrooms. And as you continue up the stairs, you go, you land into a bridge that has a double height space looking down into the informal living room, and the three main rooms facing the water view and with the master suite, and another bedroom envisioned as an office facing the front and with a large balcony. So that's in general the plan of the house and how it's organized. And going back to the exterior. These are some views. The top left is the front, looking from the top, where you can see how the volumes are articulated as not to have one main three-story mass, which is very important for this understory projects, so you could see perhaps better here that it's one volume at the second level, that's the main volume, and then you see the third level further back. So in this case, it's sort of like two rectangles. I see it as nested rectangles, one set into the larger one, the smaller one. Set into the larger one, but very, very simple, with a simple neutral palette of beige or I guess, coffee milk color, for lack of a better name, with the vertical aluminum lures and the stucco and the accents in, it would be wood. I think there's a discrepancy in the drawings, but it would be either real wood, kumaru, or treated wood that's been treated with heat, and it's very resistant. It's a new product called Timura. So it would be one of those. This is the rear, which is, that's most typical waterfront houses is mostly glass. And on the top, on the bottom left is the entrance. And on the right, you could see the pool area. It's a large pool that's parallel to the water, or in this case, open bay. And it turns into an L shape, which becomes a pond, and it's part of the entrance. So that's part of the arrival experience. When you come in, you drop off, go up the steps above the water. And that's basically the project. We have a short video that where you can see more of it. If we could please play it. And that's it. It's repeating. So that concludes the presentation. Are there any questions?
And before we hear from the public, do any board members have any disclosures to make on this application?
I did a site visit.
Great, thank you.
Good morning. I am a neighbor on San Marino, and I did see that this came through, and they're asking for the additional height.
You have to state your name and address.
Sorry, hi. My name is Itai Timna. I, again, live on San Marino. And my question here is, with this new understory space, is that truly necessary, and is that additional 4 feet truly necessary? We just spent a significant sum of money putting in pump stations, which are, you know, 30 feet from this property. Maybe a little more than that, obviously, but very, very close. Why are we needing to add this additional height when we just spent all this money to try and make everything kind of get clean? We still haven't finished that pump station, or it seems, or the streetscape. Hopefully that will happen. But the additional height seems unnecessary considering the fact that flooding is not an issue, and I'm assuming that is the rationale for that additional space. You know, the homes are getting bigger and bigger. I have no problem with nice big homes. Obviously everyone wants a nice home. But as we continue to creep up, where is the limit? And I think the limit is good where it stands. So that is my comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak at this time? If not, I'm going to close the public portion of the meeting and turn over to the board for comment. James, pumping stations, do they have generators?
I believe that all of our pump stations will be equipped with emergency generators. And I believe the one he is speaking at is at the street end that's a little to the two parcels over, yes.
Thank you.
So I can add some explanation to staff's recommendation that is supporting of it. First of all, the height waiver and the understory area are two independent elements. The use of the understory area does not trigger the need for the waiver request for the additional height. The understory area is a matter of right that is reviewed by this board so that its design is excellent. And that allows people that are putting their design floor elevation at the maximum or higher base flood elevation plus maximum freeboard. The building code requires that the first floors of new construction be at, for residential, BFE plus one. In this instance, the applicant is capitalizing on the expansive nature and going to BFE plus five. And in addition to that, which is where the datum for elevation measurement comes from, the applicant is seeking a height waiver for 4 additional feet for the RS3 zoning district that our policymakers put into the code. They put that into the code because RS3 lots, typically when they're found on the water, fluctuate in lot area from the minimum standards of 10,000 square feet of lot area to some of the larger lot areas that we typically see in RS2 and RS1 zoning districts. RS1 is like Star Island and has a minimum lot area of 30,000 square feet. RS2 is also typically waterfront and has minimum lot area of 18,000 square feet. I bring this up for your reference in looking at the height request because first staff defaults to the lot area of the subject property. In this instance, it is about 3,000 square feet higher than the minimum lot area. But next, and equally as importantly, staff reviews the design. How is that second floor massing? Typically, how it's seen from the street, and also the immediate neighboring context. In this instance, the site benefits from being nestled between two recent constructions, one of which is a true three-story home, which is no longer permitted in our regulations.
Regarding the 70% second floor to first floor, I think if you look at the design of the first floor in relation to the second floor, you'll see that because of the minimum profile that is actually at the street front and set back nearly 60 feet from the front property line, that is why staff is supportive of the 70% limitation. The house basically opens up as it gets to the rear waterfront aperture, so it would have de minimis impact on the street front, in staff's opinion. That's basically the theory behind staff's recommendation in favor of this application.
James, I've noticed a lot that it seems like staff is giving a break with height or the second story increased size based on setback from the street. But I'm seeing these 10-foot setbacks from the side property lines with a 60-foot tall house. And, you know, this ceiling's probably about 25 feet, and he's 10 feet away from me. And I don't see any increases in side setbacks for these benefits, and I wonder why. Does staff take that into consideration, and what am I missing?
Well, you're not missing anything. Typically, what we like to what we review is to see where the massing is on any given site, and it's a case-by-case review. We do have the regulation that regulates the two-story side elevations that cannot exceed a certain certain length without creating additional recesses, additional setbacks. So in that sense, that side elevation is typically regulated by that regulation. Now, if you feel that the compounded nature of the second floor to first floor, the mass is set against one property line versus the other, which we've seen in the past, staff reviews that as well. In this instance, staff finds that it kind of is more nestled in the middle at the beginning of the front of the property and then moves backwards with the open terrace on the second floor to break up that massing.
What is the extra 4 feet? Why are you requesting that?
Okay. We're currently working on a project that's being built in Rio Alto where we didn't request it because it was a 10,000 square foot lot, and we're working on that project, and our ceiling height for the second floor is 8'4", and for the first floor is 9 feet. And when we presented this project from the initially, we were under the understanding since it was larger, the waiver was favorable, and we advanced with the project. In addition to that, the impact of the house, we studied that together with planning and zoning staff. The house on our right side on the east, it's a true three-story house, and it has a 7.5-foot setback. So we are actually at 10, and our total height is 35 feet. And we're breaking up the volumes into distinct volumes by the H-shape configuration on the sides, where we have an indentation that it's not just the minimum courtyard. It's a rather large courtyard where we can have planting. Our neighbor to the east does not have any windows. It's really a blank wall that was allowed some years ago. So we don't see any negative impact to that neighbor in particular. And to the neighbor on the east, the house, if we look at the massing, it's in that area, it's H-shaped, but even with a larger courtyard. So you would see a volume about the size of a house, perhaps 35 feet in width and 35 tall, including the understory. And then another volume slightly larger on the water side, and an indentation where you could have enough planting. And we would like to have enough planting for privacy as well. So given the context and the situation and the fact that the site is larger, and the only impact would be from the street. And we have configuration where we have initially a two-story house and the three-story house is set back, which I think is something that's being considered in the future. And given all of those decisions that we have made as to reduce the impact of the house, I believe that it would fit well and allow for a height that is closer to the standard of for a new house.
Yeah, and I would ask everyone to take a look at aerial number one, which is the second sheet of the presentation package, and see the relationship between this massing and the adjacent massing. It's rather almost insignificant in terms of the contemporary houses on both sides.
The gentleman opposed, are you adjacent to the property, or are you just in the neighborhood?
We need for the board's edification. We need if we're going to be calling on members of the public, we need to make sure they come to the podium so we have them on record.
Hi, this is Itai Temna again. I live at 400 East San Marino, so it's the interior lot. So from my roof deck, I would be looking directly onto his home. And I'm not really clear when they say that there's a true three-story. There's the neighbor's home has stairs coming up to a third-floor deck, but I don't understand exactly how that is a true third story. I believe that's just the top of the stairs.
Will this new structure block your view?
Yes.
I'd like to say I did do a site visit, and I noticed that the house next door that you're talking about that's very tall, mm-hmm. that wall at least is very much covered by trees. So one of the things that really struck me about the existing structure is that it seems very proportional and appropriate for the site. It's actually a really beautiful home, and it has lots of lovely landscaping. One of my concerns about the design is that you're removing a significant portion of the tree canopy, which I think makes those Venetian islands so beautiful and unique. And so that's one reservation that I had about this design, to be able to, I would encourage you to include more landscaping. And I, like my colleague here, don't really understand the need for an increase in the height and in the unit size. I mean, you're tripling what is already there. And again, a house that seems very proportional to the context of the neighborhood and the line. I don't understand the design. Your design is lovely. I just don't understand why you can't, again, why you need a variance. Like, why can't you just follow the rules and the specifications for homes of that size, of that location?
So, Sarah, I can continue to explain when this distinction arises. They're not seeking a variance. They're seeking a waiver. And it's within the city regulations for an applicant to apply for the waiver. So they are playing by the rules by being before this board and seeking relief on some of the aspects. There's a clear distinction between a variance and a waiver. A waiver is a design-driven element that this board has the design review criteria to weigh in on, and a variance is a practical difficulty or a hardship. The applicant isn't requesting any variances as part of this application.
James, I was also under, and that a waiver like this for the extra 4 feet, I know there's lots that are much bigger than what this size was designed for, and I also understand there's like square lots where it's really not imposing. This is a very narrow lot, and an extra 4 feet, you know, when it's blocking a view of a water, is significantly damaging to property values of an adjacent property. And I understand, I totally encourage people to go as high as they can as far as you know, going above the flood line, but I don't see the necessity for this extra 4 feet either.
Okay. Well, it's the applicant's responsibility to have this board see the necessity. And just for clarification, again, the two properties that are abutting the subject property to the east and the west are actually have lesser setbacks than this house today because the regulations have been modified to increase those setbacks.
And I'd like to say with that, that there's a lot of bad things that were done. And I don't think that just because something was badly done, that when we have regulations today, that we should take that into consideration then, and then again give waivers or variances based on what was done previously.
Oh,
I mean,
certainly.
I think those are, you know, I get that there's a blank wall and you landscape it and stuff, but that's what I think.
Right, which is why our regulations are constantly evolving.
I'd like to say that the applicant has multiple waivers that he is permitted to ask for. And when I look at the request for waivers as opposed to variances, which I always want to base on a hardship where usually none exists, when I look at waivers, I always try to balance the waivers against what the client is providing as a benefit. And in this case, the client is providing substantially greater front setbacks than he's permitted, and he's providing a much larger rear setback than he's permitted. And he's also carved out the sides of the buildings along each sideline so that at the 10-foot setback, there's multiple areas that are much greater than 10 feet along the side setbacks also. Not that I'm ever in favor of giving more height, but I think there's always sort of a trade-off here, because he could push this thing out much bigger to meet his second floor to first floor ratio and eliminate that greater front setback that he's providing.
Agreed. Part of the thing that staff was talking about, how the front street has a small profile, is best evidenced on their second floor plan and their roof plan, which is A sheet 2.3 and 2.4 respectively, where you see that second floor is kind of nestled in from the sides to quell your concerns about the immediate abutting properties. And just as a point of clarification, the gentleman who spoke in concern over the application is across the street on a dry lot on a very irregular shaped block, and immediately abutting that property is a one-story home. So in all likelihood, when that one-story home, if and when that gets redeveloped with a two-story structure, that will probably block his view more than this subject property.
I'm sorry, which place?
The abutting property to you?
On the water?
No, dry. 424 East San Marino Drive.
Okay. I was referencing the view to the water. I apologize. But yes, I guess it would impede, correct. But in the same sense, I wouldn't want that home to have an additional 4 feet as well. And not to belittle the design. I do agree it's an attractive design, but I would like to see if it could stay within the height restriction.
Sure.
How are you?
Hi.
So I just want to, I guess we should just recognize that the house that's being demolished is a Russell Pancoast home. So moment of silence for that happening. I do think we all have to kind of recognize that those things are going away slowly but surely. This board doesn't really have the power to stop that from happening because these homes are not in historic districts. But I do think it's then our responsibility to make sure that whatever we get in its place is the best design and the best home that we can have for our community. So I try to always keep that in mind. I sat on this board maybe 5 years ago for a few years, and we started seeing a lot of the pre-1942 homes going away. So it's between then and now, there's been probably hundreds that have been lost. So I'm very sensitive to that. So I try to make it my mission to make sure that what the architects and designers are doing here in the beach is the best that they can possibly do. So saying that, and being that I'm sort of I'm the sea level rise architect here on the board, I do commend you for taking the new code parameters to heart and doing the freeboard area. I think we're going to see a lot more homes like this because it's what is now in the city planning code, and it's the way that we are requesting and not encouraging, but it allows this kind of a design to happen. So I really appreciate that. From a design standpoint, I do think the video helps out a lot, and I think your 2D presentation is very easy to understand, so thank you for that. It's helpful for the board. Not everybody on the board is an architect or designer, so making it really clear for us to understand is very helpful. I really appreciate the side articulations that you've done on this home. We are going to be reviewing a couple other homes later today that are not so successful, so I commend you for taking the effort to make sure those side elevations are broken apart. There's a huge front setback. I think this is a really nice... I like to think that every house has four sides, and they're all equally as important. So I do feel like you've taken that time with fenestrations, with material articulation, the textures. You can see them very well in your video that you showed. It's a very nice design. As far as the... So there's the two waivers that you're asking for. Yes, could you make the second floor... I think you'd have to be about 200 square feet smaller to hit the 70%, and then you wouldn't need that. You wouldn't need that waiver anymore. That's a pretty big room at 20 by 10, so you'd lose half the master closet. And then the height request I see, obviously I understand this. It's floor-to-ceiling heights and getting your finished floor heights. Maybe there's a compromise where the board considers a 26 instead of a 28. I think 24 for the current building standard, the way people's spaces are now, is tight. This is a 12 foot, 12 and 12, and then by the time you have your drop ceiling, it brings you down to 10. Back in the 40s and the 20s, homes had ceiling heights that were 9 feet or 8 feet. So now, but the expectation is taller. So I am sensitive to that from a design standpoint, but. This is a really good example of somebody that's asking for some waivers, not asking for, 85% second floor or 95% second floor, because we get that too, but that has taken the effort to create a design I think that's very thoughtful and I think will be a nice addition to the neighborhood and is a really nice example of the way we can utilize this elevated space for parking in case there is future flooding, which we know is going to happen someday with or without the pumps. So that would be my comments. Thank you.
Sarah, if I wasn't clear, when someone is asking for the 4 feet height waiver, it's not just 4 feet, it's up to 4 feet. So this board has its discretion to grant none or an additional foot, additional 2 feet, 2.5 feet. So if they're asking for four, it's not a hard, you can either yes or no that. It can be reduced accordingly.
Thank you for clarifying that. My concern, though, to offset what you were saying about the ceiling height, is in the design, you do have this massive expanse of windows that I doubt having a little bit lower of a ceiling is going to change the effect of space because you have all this natural light. Like you said, you have the spaces broken up. I just, would like everyone to take that into account too, that, a few feet here and there, considering all the other design elements of the spaces. I just want to point that out.
So when you talk about a few feet, are you talking 1 or 2 feet? Or 4 feet as an absolute?
Well, no,
whatever we decide.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Second is what's fascinating about this proposal, which is one of many that we'll see, is that it begins to set a precedent. And what's funny to look back on history, we'll look back at this group of people, this board, and what projects we approved for certain heights and not heights. And we have to be conscious of that. There's some projects that deserve to have that height because they look like a better building. And there's some that should not have the height because they're not that good a building. And that kind of is a funny aesthetic criteria that we get to decide. This is actually a very good project. Could it be a foot or two shorter? Maybe. Would it take air out of the energy in that project? Maybe. So we have to be conscious of the effect that we may have actually on the final product.
I'm well aware. Thank you, though.
If I may add now, in the project that we're working on that we had the reduced height, it's not only the height, it's 8.4 and I believe 9 or under 9, but it's also that since these new modern houses have large spans, you need larger beams and the ductwork, and we really had to do an overlay all the systems and do a great effort during months to really make it work because it was almost not workable. So in this case, that I think we consider from the beginning, the articulation of the house, the impact, what you would see from the front. In the rear, my understanding is it's not an issue because it's open bay and it's not a canal. You don't have a neighbor right there. And so I would respectfully request for the maximum height that it could be allowed.
And if I may add, if maybe just, I mean, the building is attractive, but why do you need the additional 4 feet for essentially parking underneath? Can it not just be dropped down for the parking?
No, the parking is at the minimum. It's really at the minimum. It's if we go to this section here, our ceiling height at the parking area is 8 feet. Because there will be plumbing, there will be beams.
Can the grade be reduced there?
I think we're beyond the rebuttal part of this presentation, if you don't mind.
No problem.
The ceiling height in the second floor, clear ceiling height, with the assumption that everything will work, all the beams, it's right now 9.8, and the first floor is 10.8. So
there could be a compromise here.
Yeah, yes, but ideally,
about two
I think
feet would be great.
It would be an under-improvement to do a house of this level and have the ceiling height in the first floor way under 10. It should be close to 10, and second floor maybe 9.4. That would be a condition where it wouldn't be a shame to do a house like that and not follow the standard of today's modern house.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we approve application DRB 190395 with approving the waiver for the 75.5% second floor and for modifying the waiver instead of a 28-foot to a 26-foot as measured from the base flood elevation plus 5 feet or 14-foot NGVD.
Well, second that, but I have a question. On your video fly-through when we were going underneath the structure and then up the stairs, it looked like the underneath of the structure was board-formed concrete.
No, that'll be stucco. That'll be hopefully a special stucco, micro cement, very matte.
And then when you're going past the walls, it looks like some kind of stone?
It should be a similar material. The renderers get creative there, but it should be stucco.
So the material is all stucco?
Yes, as we have indicated
painted
in the elevation.
Stucco or color integral stucco? Or
The best stucco that we can find.
Which means?
Well, we don't know yet, but we will find something acceptable to the board and to planning and zoning. And obviously, we want not just any stucco. It's too big a house to clad it completely. I mean, and you don't want to mix too many materials. So we're thinking maybe there's a stucco that lime is added to it, and it has a different texture. And it's more matte. I've seen some examples, but we have to do some research now.
I think it's something you work out with the staff and make it the quality there. But I had one minor question, which is why are the railings not included in this application?
No. That's probably some notes, technical notes that this.
Yeah, it's noted on many pages that the railings will be under another application.
That's when it goes to building permit. It's normal to have the railings under separate permits. So those notes made their way here, but they shouldn't be here. So you can disregard.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you. We have a second.
Thanks.
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Project's approved, 6-0.
Is this section part of your submittal?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a little update. We have received correspondence with the distributed antenna system representative, items 2 and 3, and they are unable to attend. They thought that they were going to be requesting a continuance of those two items to the April hearing.
Anyone from the public wish to speak on this topic concerning the antennas and so on? If not, I'm going to close the public portion, turn over the board for comment. In the past, just for reference, we have continued these on a regular basis, and we prefer to continue them so we have careful time to look at them.
Staff has no objection to the continuance. We are, as you see in the recommendation, we're supporting the items as submitted. So to continue them, staff is supportive of that. And if there's a motion, it would be for all three of the distributed antenna systems.
I'll move to continue.
So that would be DRB file 19-0472 and DRB file 19-0473. There was a motion by Mr. Steffens. Is there a second?
Second. Continue to when? To
the April 7th?
Yep, okay.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Should we keep these, or?
If you could you keep them, please? Or do we retract them?
James, may I ask a question? When do they have to apply or ask for a continuance for it to be valid?
Generally at the hearing, but sometimes it's earlier when they decide to revisit a design or they get staff's recommendation, which is gives all of these design suggestions. They say, you know what, we want to go in with a more favorable recommendation. We're going to continue this to keep working. Or sometimes they meet with the neighbors.
Right.
So that time frame can come, you know, anytime up to the hearing. In the previous applicant's case, we heard on a Thursday. In this instance, my colleague is corresponding with the person saying, I sent an email last night.
Is there any way to make it a deadline? If you're going to continue, you got to let us know like 7 days in advance of the hearing. Is there any way to do something like that?
The issue with that is that a continuance might be requested for any number of reasons. So I think what I would instead recommend is if the board, and by the way, it's very unusual that this happened twice at one meeting, but what I would recommend instead is that the board impose on the applicant, you know, the requirement that, you know, we're going to continue you one more month, but you need to appear and present your application. I think that would be totally appropriate.
But there's no way we can require, I've been on the other side, I've been a neighbor, and I've shown up, and I've taken off work, and then they continue it, and they do it again. And it's really hard for people to actually appear and hear this. And it's used as a tactic by some people, let's face it. So is there anything we can do to make it a rule that if they're going to continue, they have 7 days prior, and if they're not ready, they better know they're ready or they're going to have to move forward. I mean, I think, is there anything, has that ever been?
No, I mean, you always have the discretion as a board to grant a continuance for, again, any number of reasons. So I don't think a deadline like that would accomplish what you're trying to do. I think that if you don't want to, if you don't want to grant the continuance, that's a different story.
Yes, Scott, I know this is the second meeting here. This is actually extremely rare that this has happened, and it brings it up for discussion, which we appreciate you bringing up. But it is a rare occurrence that these requests come in. When I do receive one, I typically like to let the board know, so that's less homework that you have to do, you know, in prepare. Same with staff. We've already reviewed it, analyzed it, written the reports, and we get a last-minute request for continuance. Well, that's, you know, a waste of our time, so to speak, in terms of having already done the review. So I like to give you guys a heads up, certainly in due time. And in terms of letters of opposition or concern, to send them to staff the night before a hearing and expect this board member to receive it is quite an ask. You know, the notice has gone out for these for 31 days well in advance for any correspondence and public input to be received. We try our best to relay that information, have it part of the record, but sometimes this happens. That said, I understand that the representative for the 6080 Collins Avenue is here. Yeah, great.
The only comment I have to that is that the chair had announced that that would be heard no earlier than 10. So we may want to take another application first.
If there's no objection from the other members of the board, I recommend we go ahead with the 10 o'clock hearing.
Okay. So we will hear from DRB file 19-0488, DRB file 18-0239, 756 84th Street. This can be found on page 55 of the distributed agenda package. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for exterior modifications to a previously approved design review approval for the construction of a new five-story multifamily building on a vacant parcel, including mechanical parking and variances. Specifically, the applicant is modifying the rear of the building and requesting a variance to exempt the lobby stair from the requirement to be substantially transparent at the ground level. As this board may recall, on July 3rd, 2018, the Design Review Board reviewed and approved this new five-story multifamily building on the vacant lot that included a waiver of the clearance for the parking. It received mechanical conditional use approval for the mechanical parking from the Planning Board, and it also was requesting a variance, which was subsequently withdrawn. That project was being reviewed through the building and other life safety disciplines, and design changes came to the surface. The most predominant of which was changes to the rear facade, which is this board that sat on the board when it was approved, may recall, featured a very elaborate exterior staircase in the rear of the property. The removal of such and the internal configurations almost fall within the administrative approvals that staff has at our discretion to approve without coming back for this board. But because it exceeded more than just the two stories, it exceeded the entire rear, it required coming back to this board. In addition, as a part of a cleanup, as the architect can express going through the permit review, one thing was added, which was to go ahead and seek that additional variance, which had to do with the lobby transparency of that front gold encased stairwell. So with that, staff is supportive of the application with the exception of the variance and recommends approval.
And before we hear the applicant's presentation, since I see some newly arrived individuals in the audience, can I ask everyone to raise their right hands, anyone who will be providing testimony today? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good morning. Matthew Amster with the law firm of Burkow, Riddell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tappanez. Offices at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. Here today representing Diva Estate, the applicant and owner of the subject property. With me from ownership is Mauricio Lucarelli, and we have our project architect, Eduardo Pardo Fernandez. Some of you were here July 2018 to hear this project at the first time around, a very ambitious project. This is a neighborhood that is, I think, on the cusp of transition, and a few people have gone forward and gotten some approvals, and these owners are very committed to making this project work. The lots here are extremely narrow. They're only 50 feet wide and only 112 feet deep, which by itself is just a real challenge to make this work. But the architects came forward and got approved a five-story, four-unit project. It basically has a parking level and lobby at the ground level, and then the units are above, and which is helpful for sea level rise issues. And it was an ambitious project, very well designed both in the front with a very central and highlighted central stair, as well as another stair that was open at the rear. And I want to show you as an example of, again, where this is happening is our first handout is a little map showing you We have support that we've gotten from nearby neighbors. We've reached out to more than just the people on this, but it's difficult with especially vacant properties to get a hold of the owners. But we do have a few nearby letters. And then importantly, the last letter in there is from Daniel Vaitia. He has a very large presence in North Beach, one of the long-standing proponents of new development and improvement in the neighborhood. And he has, on the last page there, expressed a very strong support for our application as well as the variance. And he was going to try to show up here in person, but unfortunately he had other commitments and couldn't be here. And then just a little housekeeping, the second part of the handout is just some additional signature pages. The owners and applicants submitted the application before getting our firm involved, so really this is just their acknowledgement that we are authorized representatives, and I've already handed the originals out to staff. So again, as it happens, you know, you get an approval, you go to permitting, which they are. They've been in permitting. They've been trying to deal with all of the different regulations, not just zoning. There's fire life safety is definitely a very big consideration here. And to try to make this project work, they needed to make some changes. The five-story building requires two life safety stairs. That rear one is a big challenge here for this project. So they've redesigned the project, but started to stay true to the original approval, especially the front facade, which hardly has any changes at all. They've reduced the need for the stair in the back by making these units. The building is still five stories looking, but it actually now technically is three stories. They've created basically a long, narrow living space on one floor with a mezzanine, which is the upper bedroom, which creates essentially that to be considered a one story. And what that does is it allows them to take two life safety stairs down to the one, which is the one at the front, which was always going to be a life safety stair to begin with. And that in itself also brings up the need for the variance. They had hoped we withdrew that variance at the last hearing in the hopes of trying to work it out with both planning staff and the fire department to try to get to a means of making this transparent as the zoning code requires while also meeting all the life safety codes. And that has proven to be extremely challenging. And again, this is a narrow lot. You know, the zoning code actually lets you, it says in there, if the stair cannot meet the life safety stair, then you have to provide another stair. Well, it's a 50-foot wide lot with 12 feet depth. Where are you going to put it? So I think that there's a little bit of a conflict here. And we do meet, though, the rest of the requirements for the stair. And it's supposed to be located right at the front. It's supposed to be very visible, which it is. In fact, it's highly visible with the golden perforated screen. It is before you get to the elevator. I mean, it meets all of the other requirements except the one that says substantially transparent. So it is a perforated screen from the front. It's extremely visible. And I do want to turn it over now to Eduardo so he can, I know some of the members are new, so we're going to do an overview of the project, and we have a digital presentation that he can prepare for you, and happy to discuss further after.
Hi. My name is Eduardo Pablo Fernandez. I'm the founder and principal of Contemporary Design Studio Architecture and Planning in Miami. The good thing about having such a competent attorney is that I almost wind up with nothing else to say because he did such a good job with the issues. As a refresher, because I know you have so many projects and there are some new board members, I'm going to try to go faster than I usually do through the original design and then get to the reason and the character of the changes themselves. All right. Perfect. So, again, this is North Beach on the Biscayne Beach side. It's an internal lot, very tight lot, 50 by 100. So now that we didn't even have to provide parking, we had the option not to, but given the current market, we are providing it until perhaps some years from now it's no longer necessary. And that's the character of what we see right there. It's a very humble, subdued architecture, but here and there, like in the upper right corner, you get to see some interesting details from the Miami modern vibe of the 1950s when the neighborhood came into being. So the upper graph tells a story that almost everybody knows. After the 2008 crash, the Great Recession, there's been an uptick in multifamily housing, indeed. Yet what the lower graph tells is a not-so-spoken fact that the light blue that is towards the bottom is the number of small buildings being built, whereas the purple is the large buildings that the likes of the Related Group or the other big developers would do, which makes perfect sense because it takes almost about the same amount of brain damage, and yet you marshal the financial resources and the land acquisition and you get a much bigger profit for about the same timeline. So, yet at the same time, those small buildings are the ones that do build urban fabric. They provide for a more grainy neighborhood character. And if we look back to the places that we love, that we pay dearly to go visit almost every year if we can, we find places like Nyhavn in Copenhagen with all of these 3 to 4, 5-story houses with a few units. In this case, it's all attached, one next to each other. Or here in Stockholm in Sweden, when you get this somewhat detached, but yet the same character. And this is from a time when Western culture wasn't as wealthy as we are allegedly right now. You didn't have the sophisticated financing. Everything costed dearly to put together, and you would maximize your investment in creating places that are valuable and beautiful, and in the front facade, for example, whereas other parts of the structure, while still beautiful, would be quite utilitarian. And again, we started translating that, and we get this building, which is a modern building, and modernism is indeed the traditional character and the vernacular of Miami Beach since its founding. And we got, again, the lobby and the parking, very straightforward. The second floor, which, as we were providing these units, which are about 1,500 square foot large, that's a conscious decision by my client. There is plenty of small units here in North Beach and in Miami Beach at large, if you will, that works great for the young kids, the young professional, or maybe even empty nesters. But if you are a young person, you work at the beach, you love the beach, you're invested in the beach, your whole life revolves around it. You make a family, you start having kids, schools become a consideration, and also the housing stock that you find. Everybody knows that for larger units, they start becoming less and less affordable, and people eventually just cross the bridge and move to Midtown or elsewhere in the greater Miami area. So this was always an effort to provide larger, fewer units that don't overtax the density, that don't demand an enormous amount of parking and already overstretched supply on the street. And that's what we got. Of course, to get these units on 5 stories, we need 2 stairs. We get the conundrum that FAR in this RM1, the zoning designation, under the current regulations, the current rules, is very tight. It's just 1.25, which even for a building so efficient as this, that the elevator opens and you get kicked out into the middle of the living room with no corridor whatsoever, it's very exacting. And if you have to provide for these 2 stairs, one in the front and back, the back one, we did all of these contortions that you'll see to make sure that it doesn't cover FAR.
How much more time would you like?
5 minutes. Thanks. So, again, here you go. This is how it looks. And why or how should it look from the outside? Okay, what does make Miami Beach unique? Yes, we are a blessed place with a great weather and good beaches, but there are many places like that. I think what is distinctive about Miami Beach is the fact that we are an artsy, vibrant city, and perhaps that's best embodied in our basil, which gets all the buzz and all the excitement and have lingering effects. I mean, we are a very artsy place. How do we translate that? How do we make the connection? One of many possible ways to do it is perhaps go back to Cubism, which is perhaps this blurry frontier between painting and pictoric art and almost 3D space volumes that start materializing in architecture. And that started happening in the 1920s with Joseph Gokar and Joseph Schoeschel with the Czech Cubism that is so interesting and that we found inspiration in. And also the simple things that surround around us. If you look carefully, you can find very many sources of inspiration all around. And that's our translation. So this is the Nyhavn or Stockholm building type translated to Miami Beach to our character. Again, all the excitement is on the front facade. The side, while being orderly, was fairly utilitarian. And you get this screen that makes the stair fully visible and permeable in the front. And that's how it looks in the context. And again, if you have to provide a stair in the back, you better do it in style. And we get the inspiration of Maurice Lapidus with his famous Stair to Nowhere. And we got this, which somebody, and I appreciated the comments, said that it was probably a set in waiting for a Miami version of the West Side Story, Broadway musical. And that's the building that we got at the time. 5 stories, parking, very simple. Now, Reality Bites, and the fact that we have this stair opening in the back, code-wise, triggers a whole series of requirements. Number one, it is a structural feature all by itself because we made all of these contortions so that under the current zoning ordinance, it wouldn't cover itself, so it would not count towards FAR. Number two, by being next to the building, then all of the doors and windows, which are your living and dining French doors going out, have to be fire rated, which is extremely expensive. Number three, all of your guardrails have to be even 4 feet high, which is much higher than usual, and they have to be opaque because somebody might be panicked, afraid of heights, and not go out in case of a fire. So between all of those things, it became very cumbersome for construction and very costly nonetheless. And again, we have 1.25 FAR. The financial dynamics nowadays, we are not in the 1800 building, the beautiful townhouses that we have, are something that we cannot go around. So we got ourselves thinking, how can we get rid of the stair? Fire didn't have an issue because they up to 4 stories with the parking level. They considered the parking level what is called a dormant level, so you can pull off a 4th stair. They would be very honest saying, your beef is not with us, it's actually with the building department because the Florida Building Code has different prescriptions. So when you go to the Florida Building Code, mezzanines do not count as an independent story towards the height and floor area calculation limitations that also trigger a means of egress determination. Great. Also, if you happen to have a type 2 building type, building construction, your mezzanine can be not just 1/3 of the space below, you can stretch it to 1/2 of the space below. Great. And we made sure that we comply with all the life, the travel distances and so on and so forth. So we wound up with these different buildings. So these are 3 stories, even though it looks like 5.
I'm going to interrupt you. Preamble is quite impressive. Could you just get to the point of the fact?
Yes.
Which is the changes that happened?
Yes. The changes that happened, again, this is just, as you saw in the section, 2 lofts, 1 on top of each other. The front is just the same. In the side, we basically had to take a portion of the second floor, move it to the end of the train on the ground floor, and leave a void space, which, if you ask me, helps with the tectonics because since the front has some portions going out and then going back, it kind of does a zigzag effect that is visually pleasing. The back, you don't have the stair anymore. These volumes, again, they create the lower level space with the upper floor mezzanines. That's what it is. Yes, it gets closer to the neighbors, but at the same time, everything happens inside. You don't have people going up and down, which if I was to live right behind, I would prefer this outcome for privacy purposes. And that's how we look in context, and we're done. So if you want, through questions or very quickly now, in case you want to see it in the boards, I can just run it quickly as well, but I think it's at your discretion.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Yet complete your presentation.
I'd just like to add that we have a few modifications to some conditions, but we can work that in through the discussion that I'm sure you'll have. But
so we'll come back to that later, okay?
Excellent.
Make sure we come back to that.
Yes, I will.
Anyone
Thank
else
you.
From the public wish to speak at this time concerning this project? I see no one, so we're going to close the public portion and turn over the board for comment.
And I'd like to first ask if any board members have any disclosures to make on this application.
I did a site visit.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. The variance about the main the building's main lobby be substantially transparent. The stair in the building's main lobby be substantially transparent at the ground level. So the way this is with this perforated gold screen is not considered to be substantially transparent. And what is the code requiring that be?
More glass. And I know that when this iteration has been came about when the applicant was reviewing the permit plans, trying to come up with a solution, and we're working towards finding a solution, which is why I asked the applicant, maybe you just want to apply for the variance again at this, since you're going back.
I mean, does it have to be glass, or could it be no glass, or could it be more perforation?
More perforation, yes.
Because it looks see-through to me, like when I'm looking at it. I mean, the 2D color renderings in here are it doesn't look transparent at all. So that was the first thing I said. But then when I looked at the actual 3D renderings and the details of the screen, it's a perforated screen. It's see-through.
Right.
So is it not see-through enough? Is that what staff is feeling? Okay. Yep.
Is that for the lobby or for the stairs?
For the lobby, I believe. And that's probably part of the...
Pardon?
The lobby stair.
The lobby stair. Which is the lobby stair?
That one, and I'm going to do a little bit of history. So, obviously...
I just want staff to clarify. Yeah, what? I mean, are you asking for the lobby to be transparent?
The lobby and the stair, yes.
Lobby and the stair.
If I may, I want to read the actual requirement. I think it'll help to bring it all into focus. At least one stair shall be visible and accessible from the building's main lobby, whether interior or exterior, shall provide access to all upper floors, shall be substantially transparent at the ground level, and shall be located before access to elevators from the main building lobby along the principal path of travel from the street. Such stair, if unable to meet minimum life safety egress requirements, shall be in addition to all required egress stairs.
So if, because of life safety, you can't have this stair exposed, you would have to provide another stair.
And except for that substantially transparent, we meet all of the other requirements. It's at the front, it's before the elevator, it's right off of the lobby. Even the lobby doors are transparent, so you can see where the lobby is.
And it says transparent on one side as you can under the life safety code, because you couldn't make more of it transparent or else it wouldn't be a means of egress.
And then the transparency that the screen provides is wrapped around, so while it's not transparent on the sides, it has that same effect. Because remember, you're seeing this as you approach from the street, you're going to definitely tell all floors up that it's a stair. So it's highlighted even on the sides. But I think that's where the variance is coming into play, that to meet life safety and also provide substantial transparency, it's creating this conflict and hardship, if not definitely a practical difficulty.
Matt, what do you consider to be the intent of the rule here? The transparency intent.
Yeah, that you can see exactly where the stair is and its entire column of stair. How to access it. And
inside and outside the building? Inside and outside the building?
It seems to be focused primarily from outside, since it's the path of travel from the street. But it also...
If you ask me, I would say it's meant to encourage people to actually take the stairs.
I didn't ask you, but that's okay. That's Matt.
So if I may, first of all, congratulations on this crazy project. I really appreciate the fact that you're doing low-scale buildings with reasonably sized units and parking. That's a tall order on a lot like this. Other than reading the code, what is your main objection? What is staff's main objection about the appearance of this?
There's no objection in terms of that it would require it being a variance that staff is in support of, because no hardship is
presented. It's design driven. Otherwise, staff is fully supportive of the application.
What would you suggest they do, though? Because it's so I see perforation. I don't see glass as working there. So what would you suggest they actually do?
Continue to refine it to make it more open and transparent.
But the only option for transparency is that one facade.
Right.
I mean, otherwise they'd have to provide two stairs.
Right.
And if they provided two stairs, I would assume you'd end up with
what we had before.
But even if what you had before,
you had to still
enclose you make this more transparent?
No, you had to still enclose it because the other being an exterior stair, the 50% of the means of egress that is inside has to be fully separated from the rest of the building by a 2-hour fire rating separation.
And this requires a variance?
At what point does something become transparent? 51% open?
Probably. Right now we are very close to that. Yeah. So we could increase the size of the openings in the screen pattern design perforations to further unveil the stair to the person approaching. It's very hard to miss because actually the whole purpose of the design is to make the stair unmistakable and unmissable. So as you approach it and it's closer to the elevator, if you really have the will to go up the stairs, you'll know where they are.
So if the perforation becomes 51%, then this is not a variance?
Perfect.
Can you do 51%?
I think so.
Again, that's we had been working with the applicant at the permit. Instead of having to continue refining, they could apply for the variance to stop refining it. That's why that part is part of the application. It's really the only pressing part of this application, in staff's opinion.
I mean, can that be done simply? Let's face it. I think they've exhausted every other option, and if you're just looking at a different type of mesh with larger perforations, how hard is that to do?
Very simple.
So,
this is a random pattern. You change it very quickly.
So with that understanding, we can agree to withdraw the variance request and there is a condition that I think we can modify to make sure that it's greater than 50%, this perforated screen is greater than 50% open. It's on page 2 of the draft order. It's 3D. And maybe instead of saying to be substantially transparent along both sides, because we're still talking about essentially the design of the stair tower, we would say the architect shall refine and revise the design of the stair tower at the ground level with greater than 50% openings in the perforated screen, something of that nature, and take out to be substantially transparent along both sides. The screen will continue to wrap around both sides.
James, what about to be more than 50% transparent along both sides? So just strike substantially and then insert more than 50%. Does that work?
As long as that relates to the screening, the gold metal screening.
So that the screening is more than 50% transparent? Does that work? Okay.
And then as I mentioned earlier, another modification is C right above that. It's mostly just a clarification. We are not changing the screens that are on the side for the mechanical lifts. There are requirements of how to screen from view the mechanical lifts, and we are keeping this the same as approved both at this board last time as well as what went to the planning board, which was for the purpose of the mechanical lifts. And I worked this out with Michael Belush. C would be changed to mechanical parking lifts shall comply with section 130-38.5. And then I think there might be one other, since we're withdrawing the variance. Maybe this works if you can turn to page 4. C2 says the lobby stair at the ground level shall comply with the minimum transparency requirements. I think with our agreement to be more than 50% open for the screen, that I just want to make sure it's internally consistent. So I think that still works. And that's all I have.
I actually have a question, a clarification. This screen, it seems like on the plans it was an anodized aluminum screen, but then the staff made some notes about it being stucco painted gold.
No.
So which one is it?
No, it's a golden anodized screen. It's just that there were prior iterations when we started toying with this sculpture thing, where we're just playing with, say, concrete or, say, stucco with the color only. And we arrived at the perforated metal, which we were very happy with, and staff was in support. Okay. So that might be something left out from prior iterations.
Okay. And I have another question, too. Are we just talking about this variance, or are we also accepting comments about the design overall?
In this regard, the project is for review of the board, with specific attention to the rear and to the front stairwell.
I think we want to talk about the design next.
I also applaud that. I think that this is a really interesting project for this neighborhood. I really like the interior spaces that you've designed. I think that they're going to be a big draw for buyers. My concern is, in previous iterations, you had wrapped this anodized aluminum screen around it, and there was definitely a dialogue between all the different facades of the building. And it seems like now, when you only have it in the center, it almost seems like the design element, it's not grounded anyway. That, you know, I would love to see, as part of the composition, again, I did a site visit, and as you've seen, you know, there's nothing. And around it, there's one- and two-story buildings, so people are going to see this building from all angles. And I understand that, you know, North Beach is going to be redeveloped fairly rapidly, but for a long time, this building is going to be standing out. As I was driving around and looking at the other multi-story buildings, all of the other buildings have some interesting details on all sides. And because you have such a bold statement in the front, it would seem that incorporating that on the side and on the back, something would, again, be good, not just, it would just continue the statement throughout, and I wanted to encourage that, however creatively you come up with that sort of solution.
Well, in fact, before, as you said, we had the front stair, both front and sides, the whole ground floor on the two sides for the parking, and the sliver in the back. Only that sliver in the back has been removed as of now, because it was no longer necessary there. It was part of the concealment of a very articulate stair, so it wouldn't look weird from the outside. It's the only portion that we have removed. So from the sides, it's the same. Actually, we have a slightly bigger area, because once we got to the building department, there are certain rules for calculation on the amount of ventilation provided in the garage, so as to avoid mechanical ventilation. And we actually increased the size a little bit as of now. So probably in the back, at the ground level, is the only place where we removed it. Could we consider trying to do something there, perhaps, as part of the... Because since we need to have... we used to have that stair, we left that space void now, and we're trying to do some very simple amenity area back there, which is to be seen by the users of the building mostly, because, again, it's at ground level, the way it was before. So maybe there we could incorporate some artwork or something that ties in on the golden and the richness of the palette.
Something I think, especially at this site in particular, you know, you showed us wonderful pictures of other cities around the world, and I was very aware of all of those tall, skinny buildings were adjacent to other tall, skinny buildings, so there was no need for a sort of wraparound design, but this site is so different. And, you know, I don't want, you clearly have spent a lot of time thinking about and designing and coming up with this really unique design element that I would hate for it to seem like you've poured all of your energies into this one thing, but neglected the other sides of the building.
Well, if anything, we are also thinking of the future. And truth be told is that all of these one-story buildings are towards the end of their useful life and in the middle of a flood zone, which, to be honest, I don't expect them to be there 25 or 20 years from now, whereas I certainly hope that ours is going to be there 100 years from now.
No, I understand that, but I just don't think that it's going to get to that point that soon. And I feel like if you're going to be, you know, on the first wave of developers in an area like this, that there's almost a responsibility to the rest of the neighborhood and the rest of the community. You know, we're here to elevate the level of design.
Indeed.
And that would definitely, I mean, clearly you have a very sophisticated approach to this, and adding that would get you to that point.
Yeah, we can administratively perhaps with the staff work on extending some of the filigrana towards the back. Sure.
I actually think the three out of four of the elevations were greatly improved upon, including the rear. And the unfortunate part is that I wish the mezzanine level would connect to the roofs of the space below, because what you'll be looking at from the mezzanine levels is that roof. And it's unutilized space, and yet you want it to be attractive to the occupants.
Yeah. If we have more FAR, we will be more than happy to. And that's the reason also why we kept the mezzanine towards the front, because you also get to enjoy the balcony on the front facade. You get to enjoy city life. And we are so blessed because based on the other building that we designed on 85th and Crespi, beautifuls are just great all around in that area. So it doesn't matter how you are oriented, to be honest. And we try to minimize that because we are aware it's the first thing that comes to mind indeed. And by having the open two-story high space in front of me, you distance yourself a little bit. We just kept one window for facade design reasons, and also because it was a great way to get natural light in that is already protected by the volume, so you don't get direct sunlight as much. So it plays well with the current of very stringent thermal gain requirements or limitations. But it's indeed the first thing you think.
Irving?
It's indeed the first thing you think when you're designing it.
There is no variances. This is just a design review approval at this point. So I'll move the to approve the design review.
So we had a motion and second by Mr. Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Just to clarify, approved. That's with those few design changes and the withdrawal of the variance.
Noted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much.
Congratulations.
Mr. Chair, shall I call the item that was to be heard no earlier than 10?
Please.
Great. The next file to be heard is DRB 19-0463, DRB 23045, 6080 Collins Avenue. The staff recommendation can be found on page 25 of the distributed agenda package. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the installation of an accessory sign, including a variance to exceed the maximum number of signs permitted and to exceed the maximum area permitted for a second sign. Noting that last week we received correspondence from the applicant's representative that they would be seeking a continuance. When we called items to be continued this morning, we had objections from neighboring properties. So we contacted the applicant's representative, who's here today, I believe, to request in person that continuance.
That's correct. Good morning. Damian Gallo from Permit Doctor, representing the owners at 6080 Collins Avenue. We have some communication between our legal counsel and the neighbors who are here to object, and we would like to request a continuance. Unfortunately, the attorney wasn't able to make it to this hearing, so they're preparing for, if possible, to get extended to the April hearing.
Mr. Gallo, have you registered as a lobbyist for this application?
I have.
Okay, thank you.
Does that complete your presentation?
It does.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak at this time? Please come forward.
And since this is, since we formally called the item, do any board members have any disclosures to make on this application? Seeing none.
For the record, Michael Weiner once again. You say that you filed the, excuse me if I ask a question. You've filed, do you represent the landowner or the tenant?
The landowner.
The landowner.
Yes, sir.
And the attorney who supposedly represents the landowner or the tenant, which is it?
The landowner.
Okay. And he's not here today?
No, he's not.
Do you have a reason for the postponement?
I do not know. The attorney would.
For the record, I just think that it's disrespectful to this board to come in and ask when, in fact, those people who are neighbors, who I have been given notice, came to one hearing in February, are now here in another hearing in March, and you are presented with a presentation that says the person who knows the reason for the request is not here, and we don't even know why. That's so disrespectful of your board. I honestly believe that under the circumstances, that it just shows that the board's time and effort is not important. And I think to set a precedent that way, I understand this is for a sign variance, all right? So we're talking about something that quite honestly should be disposed of in a certain amount of time. For it to take two postponements and then another hearing, I can tell you that we were contacted once, we responded, we actually had a proposal. No one got back in touch with us. I telephoned the attorney. I only had a short conversation concerning it. And then no one told us about not coming today. I don't see how you can let that be established as the level for applicants. They're coming to seek you for your approval. That's an awful low standard. Let's do this and get it over with. We're talking about a sign here. If they happen to lose, there is no great consequence. If you let them do this, then you know where the design board's status is among the development community.
Do we have the option to hear from the neighbors at this meeting and then to hear from the applicant at the next meeting?
So what you can do now is you've opened the public hearing. So if there are any other individuals who would like to speak on the item, they can do so now. You also took testimony from the public this morning. So if those same individuals have nothing new to add, they don't necessarily need to come out back to the podium. The board can incorporate the record from this morning, the testimony from this morning into the record. If the individuals would like to add something, you can take testimony from them. But I just want to remind the board, after the public hearing, the applicant has an opportunity to rebut. At that time, what you've received is you've received a request for a continuance in your discretion. You don't have to grant that request. You can hear the application today. The application has been properly noticed and is before you. And following your deliberation, you can, in your discretion, choose to approve or deny the variance. I thought about the question the board asked me this morning about taking no action. I would recommend that you dispose of the application one way or the other today, whether it be to approve, deny, or continue, rather than not take any action whatsoever.
Does that complete your presentation?
On the issue of a postponement, of course.
Does anyone else wish to speak from the public? I'd like them to come forward.
Ben, Mr. Weiner, would you like to speak on the merits now, or do you want to? Because otherwise, we'll have to open a second public hearing. I'd almost rather have the whole public hearing now.
Please.
And then the board will decide whether it wishes to continue, and what action it wishes to take on the variance.
Attorney Kalogeris, am I pronouncing the last name correctly? Am I anywhere close?
Kalogeris, but you were close enough. Thank you.
All right. Attorney Kalogeris, we're getting into some really difficult territory over something that really should have been simple. Mm-hmm. So it's a quasi-judicial hearing, and you know what I mean by that. So if I make a presentation now, I honestly fear that my presentation will not have the same effect as it would if then it is postponed and I am not able to make an additional presentation of equal time when they make their presentation. Also, I'm not supposed to go first. You have quasi-judicial rules.
You're not going first. The applicant had an opportunity to present. So you're right now you're speaking in the public hearing portion. Now, that said, if the board wishes to address first the issue of the continuance, you can take public testimony on the continuance, allow the applicant to rebut, decide what you're going to do with the continuance, and then reopen on the issue of the merits. But I think at that point, you're going to be dealing with two public hearings, two opportunities for the applicant to rebut, and two deliberations by the board on assigned variance.
To clarify, we're only here really to decide the continuance.
You have an application before you that was properly noticed. So
first, a motion about the continuance is needed. And then if that motion to continue is denied, we will immediately hear the item.
Or if there is no motion to continue, because there may not be. There may not be a board member that wishes to continue.
Let's address just the continuance issue first.
Okay.
Does that complete your presentation?
On the continuance issue,
thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Please come forward. On the continuance. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion of this hearing on the continuance and turn over the board for comment.
Just under the code, does the applicant want to present any rebuttal on the issue of the continuance?
No.
No. Okay.
I'll do it. I'll jump off. I think that two continuances for a sign variance is ridiculous. So I would make a motion to deny the continuance.
Is there a second?
Second.
So just to be clear, the motion is to deny the applicant's request for a continuance. You have a motion on the table. You can discuss the motion.
Yeah, I'd like to, obviously I don't like the fact that this is now the second continuance that is being sought. I think that the best course of action before saying no, the continuance is denied, would be to grant a continuance subject to the condition that there be no more continuances. So, I just think that there should have been a warning, before we deny a continuance and force them to present.
I just would offer an alternative of the notion that they can reapply if they are denied now. They can reapply for the variance to add the 3-square-foot area sign.
Or they can proceed and get a permit in accordance with the zoning.
Or they could just get the permit for the regular sign without a variance.
Exactly what I would recommend. But they could still then apply if they wanted to add another sign.
But if they were to reapply, we would end up back here and, the folks from the public that want to be heard are still going to have to come back a third time.
But at least we sent a clear message initially.
So there was a motion and a second. Would you like to vote? All in favor to deny?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion to continue is denied. Mr. Gallo, are you ready to make a presentation?
No, I'm not.
So the board has received these drawings twice now. Does the board feel that they're capable of acting on the application without a presentation from the applicant? Mr. Belush and myself laid out exactly what this application is doing for the installation of two signs in the RM2 district that only allows one for an accessory use. It's that simple.
If you were to deny the request, they could still install their one sign that denotes their corporate identity for the coffee house.
I may be the only person that can say that. I did not receive drawings for this proposal in my package. I can't review it at this time.
The only reason I had mine is because it came out last month, but the new one didn't come out this month.
I did get drawings.
It's all on you.
I mean, there's not a lot to review, honestly. It's a Starbucks logo and there's Starbucks letters, and then there's a Starbucks logo, and they want both, and they're only supposed to have one. So, you know, now what do you do if you didn't review that drawing?
Well, thank you. That was actually perfectly worded. They could redesign one sign to incorporate both letters and medallion. And then they'd have their two signs as one sign. But in terms of having one brand identity sign above the eyebrow and an additional sign projecting independent from that is not permitted in the zoning district.
So if we deny the variance, they could get their regular sign and come back, or they could present to you their regular sign with the logo incorporated and possibly get that approved.
Right, as
long
as
without coming to us.
That's correct.
I drove by there. I mean, it's a Starbucks, and it's borders a residential neighborhood. And I don't see any need for two signs. I mean, so that's just I just do not see this as dragging any more time. I don't see the need for two signs.
You can make a motion.
To make a motion to deny the variance.
Let me just remind the board. We advised the neighbors that we would be opening a separate public hearing on the issue of the merits. The applicant had the opportunity to provide a presentation. I'm not sure why the plans were not provided to the board members. I don't know if staff can answer that question, because it is concerning to me as your attorney that you would you'd be in a position to make a decision without the plans before you. Have the plans changed since the previous meeting? So the plans were distributed to the board. Okay, so the board members have reviewed the plans for the application that's before the board today. James, I just want to state for the record that the plans are in the record, and that the board members, I want the record
to
reflect
plans,
whether
the plans were distributed twice to this board.
Okay, so in that case, Mr. Chair, I just want to remind you that we did advise the public we would have a separate public hearing on the merits. You might want to ask the members of the public who've spoken whether they wish to speak, and then maybe the board can dispose of this application.
And to clarify, we've already voted on the variance question.
You voted on the issue of the continuance.
Oh, the continuance. Thank you.
So the board voted to deny the request for continuance.
Thank you. So your motion still stands?
I think you need to go through the rest of the...
If you would be kind enough to follow the attorney's advice and let the rest of the presentation occur under your quasi-judicial...
Okay, so anyone else...
We'll be brief. I get a sense of where the board is going. So this is a much compressed presentation, if you would like. Am I acknowledged? Michael Weiner,
absolutely,
for the record, here on behalf of LaGorce Association and also Benjamin Baum. You've heard summarized the request. It's for a sign variance. It's basically asking for two signs where one sign is allowed. It's also asking for additional square footage. Actually, they'd be increasing the sign sizes by almost 12%. Your code is referenced as 118353D. That's in your staff report. There are eight requirements, eight hurdles. None of the hurdles are met. Special conditions and circumstances exist peculiar to this land. There's no special circumstances. Hotel with a Starbucks. The special conditions are not the result of the applicant's fault. They rented this. They know what they're renting. and it's incumbent upon them. They know what the rules and regulations are, including signage. The granting of the variance requested will not confer on the applicant any special privilege. No proof, not even any discussion. A little interpretation of the provisions of these land development regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties. They can get a sign. This is just asking for a bigger sign. The variance granted is the minimum variance. We don't know what the minimum variance would be. They've just put up what was most convenient for them. The granting of the variance will be in harmony with the general intent and purpose of the land development regulations. We've already heard the testimony earlier this morning from the neighboring property owners. It's not in any way in harmony with this area. In fact, this is a residential area. This is one of the few commercial operations that are in the area. So it's not consistent with the comprehensive plan, therefore it doesn't meet any of the zoning criteria. So let's take a look at this. Where you don't meet it, you don't have any testimony, you certainly didn't give substantial competent evidence. Right now, the residential community is concerned about commercial intrusion. So what is really on their minds are hours of operation, how long this sign's going to be lit. As you know, there are high rises. These people are in the high rises. And what they'll have to do is just have more light pollution and more signage to see. We want to work with the applicant. We understand that, of course, if they put in no sign, if they put in a sign that just follows the rules, that our rights are very limited. But our real concern are hours of operations. We suggest 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. I really think this would have been a heck of a lot easier if those people in the area hadn't been ignored for all of this time. But the truth is there's no substantial competent evidence. I hope you'll follow your code, and we appreciate the time you've spent with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing and turn over to the board for comment concerning.
And before the board comments, the applicant does have a right to present rebuttal if you'd like to.
You want a rebuttal? Thank you.
No, okay.
Okay. So close the public portion, turning over to the board for comment.
And we did have a motion on the floor by Mr. Needleman.
Can we repeat the motion?
I make a motion to deny the variance. I'll amend my motion to deny both variances.
Is that with prejudice? The difference would be extending the amount of time that they could reapply. If you deny it with prejudice, it increases the time frame so they wouldn't be able to apply for a new application.
For how long?
To 6 months.
So with prejudice means they cannot apply for 6 months? Then I would do it with prejudice.
Thank you. And is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Application is denied.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is DRB file 19-0489, 1485 Cleveland Road. This can be found on page 71 of the distributed agenda package. Pardon. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story single-family residence, including one or more waivers to replace an existing one-story residence. Specifically, the applicant is requesting two design waivers. One is for an RS3 zoned property to gain an additional 4 feet in height. Second is for properties that have, for residences that have a greater than 25% lot coverage, their second floor be limited to 70% of the first floor. In this instance, the applicant is seeking another waiver of the second floor to first floor ratio of approximately 88%. Staff would note that the proposed lot coverage is about 26%, so about 1.5% over what triggers this requirement. Staff is supportive of the waiver of the second
70% second floor to first floor ratio, but is not supportive of the height waiver in this application.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kobe Karp. I'm the architect for the project. I think Taylor...
Kobe, yes, do you mind waiting about 2 minutes?
With pleasure.
To order the board members to return. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, would you like to recess the meeting, or...
I don't think a recess is necessary, but
okay.
Maybe a... call it delay.
Okay.
For 2 minutes while I excuse myself.
Again, good morning. My name is Kobe Karp, and so I will be straight to the point here. We agree with all of staff comments and recommendations, including the very substantial concern about the side yard elevations, which I would like to show you not only what the concern is, but also how it is that we propose to resolve it. Specifically, the house is set back from the street. And it's this T-shape, which you can clearly see on these color images. And so what we did is by setting it back from the street, we felt that there's a big open space in the front and in the back. This elevation right here, which has a staircase, which will be glazed. There's a bathroom in here, which will be also glazed. And there's a guest room, which will have glass on the sides of the bed. Coming back to the other, I'm sorry about my back to you. It's okay. I'm looking at page A0.08. So that's the facade, if you will, that has a staircase, the bathroom, and the guest room. We're implementing glass there. On the facade on the other side, we have a laundry room, which there is glass. We're going to enlarge it a bit. There is a theater which already has glass, and then there is the notch out, which is the garden inside the space, which has glazing on the sides. You move further towards the kitchen, there is glazing now being proposed between the top of the counter to the bottom of the counter. So all of this will be all glass across, and there'll be glass towards the dining. So the comment by staff is very valid and very true. Since we submitted, we have implemented additional glazing, and we shall bring that forward to your staff with recommendation, hopefully for support. As far as materials, also very correct, we made a little material board specifically for the materials in the front. This is the stone we put in the front right here. So that goes on the front vertical columns, which is a contemporary interpretation of what the Florida traditional porte-cochere covered portico veranda is. We have it on both the front and the back. We have this dark aluminum metal finish. We have the granite materials on the facade and on also on the side of the house. Where the returns are, we have the gray wood coming across. On the underside of the eave, we have the wood as well. So that's the material sample that we have for the record as well. Having said that, what we hear in front of you, and the staff has noted in their recommendation, we're seeking very small footprint addition. I think it's 1% or 2% on the second floor. But really what we're seeking is height. And we're seeking height specifically if you look at the structure as it sets back. So it's about, for discussion purposes, about 150 feet deep. So we went to 70 feet, and that's the part of the public space that we are seeking to have additional height. So it is not where the garage is, and let me see if I can find that image from the front. It shows it a little bit better. That's it. So as the house steps back, this is the cube of the garage. Obviously, it has a substantial setback, which is right here. It's a single-car garage with an outside green space. And then what we did, we have this roof, which meets the height. And so does this roof. It's just this pop-up right here, which goes on towards the back, is where we're desiring for the additional height. So with your mercy and permission, I have been here listening to the previous presentations. This is a two-story house. We do not have underground parking. We feel that this client, that parking may not be around for a very long time. They feel that one car with an outdoor parking area is sufficient for them. And the house is a T-shape, which works quite well. We went, met with the neighbors. We have a letter of support for one neighbor on the east. One neighbor, yeah, if you can share it, Taylor, please. One neighbor across the street, and the other ones basically had no opposition. So I'll sit down quietly and wait for your comments. Thank you.
Does that complete your presentation?
Yes, sir, it does. Thank you very much.
Does anyone else wish to speak at this time? I see no one, so I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, turn it over to the board.
And before the board continues, do any board members have any disclosures to make on this application? Seeing none?
I did site visit.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. Do the rendered elevations we have in our packet represent the things that you were talking about here in reference to staff's comments and recommendations, or are you proposing additional things that we don't see in here?
I am proposing on the package that you have to modify my side yard elevations and increase the glazing specifically to the side yards, which you see we have a lot of landscaping. And so it bodes well for us to have a glass wall where the staircase is when you're inside this bathroom, to have the glass window here, and to have the two punched windows by the side of the bed. And the idea is to...
Colby, could you, using this as a format, tell us what you might change for everyone.
The west side is the staircase, the bathroom, the two bedrooms here, and then I also have upstairs the bedrooms. So I will have another one, two windows up here. So I will have additional glazing as such on the side yard facade.
And the other side?
Yeah, as well. Yes, sir. You want me to show it? Oh, yes, of course, with pleasure, sir.
Sure, we get.
Yes, sir. And I'll make my material board also the sample.
Beautiful.
Of it. Yes, sir. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the staircase, and that's the windows we're adding on the bottom. And likewise on the other elevation right here. With There it is. So that's the staircase, and that's the bedrooms right there. Mm-hmm. And I'll give it to you. Thank you.
Hope you didn't need that.
And I can make the material board part of the record as well.
So, Kobe, why are we only 1 foot higher than the base flood elevation? Why aren't we pushing for more elevation?
Because the relationship to this, so most of the houses there were built in the 50s. The house that we are proposing to demolish was built in the 50s. So we are looking to be meeting the base flood plus one. We can certainly raise it another foot. We were trying to be humble at our presentation, meaning asking for more height for where the living space, the higher ceiling would be, but not necessarily have the house look like a parking and two levels. If you want us to raise it a few more inches or a foot, we'd be more than happy to comply with that.
I always think it's a good idea to be higher than lower. I mean, you've lived on the water. We were neighbors. I've seen the water rise even since I've been down here in the last 15 years. So, I mean, there's something definitely happening. So I think just kind of going with the minimum to me is maybe a little bit of a disservice. I know sometimes that it's an owner limitation but I would always encourage, not necessarily to create the understory, because that's not what's happening in this project, but certainly to elevate the base flood.
Would love
the
to look
level.
At. I think it's a very good comment, Jason. That. I would love to do that, and I think, and I have no owner restriction that I'm aware of at this point, so we don't mind. We want it to be more in context of the neighborhood, meaning when I do, because 50% of the houses that we do have the parking underneath. They're under construction. So that's why we felt that let us be a little bit more humble, and that was it. We actually have a photo montage of houses across the street and down the water, which have been built a bit taller. So we don't mind looking into that with staff.
I think to echo what Jason said, I like the design's very nice, and thanks for making the changes. It needed it. I think that personally I would never penalize additional height based on the flood elevation going higher. So I think that as a precedent, we don't want to let you know one or the other. I think, you know, I appreciate your humbleness of the project and the surrounding neighborhood, but I think, you know, the sea's rising, and I think that's the part that we're pretty much in agreement that needs to, you know, always go up. So I don't think that we'd penalize the rest of it based on that. So.
And I appreciate it, Scott, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it gives me a crawl space for my plumbing underneath. I live in an old 1939 house which has a crawl space underneath that I can crawl underneath and access my plumbing and so forth, and so I think it's good. So absolutely.
Just to be clear, and James, you can clarify this so that everybody on the board understands, this still raises the overall height of the home, this chunk of what's allowed by the code of 24 feet, or with the variance, as Mr. Karp is requesting, the 28 feet would come above the base flood elevation.
Okay, great.
Right?
So, let me clarify. So the client's decision to place the design first floor, whether it's a BFE plus one through up to BFE plus five, can be handled at the administrative level through the permit process. And that bears no weight on this board whatsoever for where they want to put that design floor elevation. In this instance, though, since there's a waiver associated with the design, if they were to, we could process this now if this board was amenable to granting a portion or all of the height waiver, but it would be contingent on where they're putting their design floor elevation. But if this was a free and clear single-family home that wasn't seeking any height waiver and they wanted to go, they got approval from this board at BFE plus one, and then it comes 4 months, they're in for permit, and in reality it's BFE plus three, and one of the permit reviewers brought that to my attention, like, oh, there's a discrepancy. No, we already been determined that we can handle that administratively. This board will bear no weight on where someone is putting their finished first floor.
Yeah, I kind of said that, right? Sort of. Thank you, James.
Just in terms of, I really appreciate Kobe's team in addressing staff's concerns in advance of the meeting. That said, I'm just trying to catch up a little. Thank you for the elevation sketch. I'm still not sure about where the new materials will be introduced. But more importantly, if you go to sheet 303, your roof plans, there's a little inconsistency on where you're asking for the heights. Because your roof plan shows all of the roofs at the maximum height.
Yes, that's a mistake, and I bring this to you. Is this correct, Taylor? Can I share it with James? Thank you. We made a little color image that shows, so everybody sees. This is the lower height, the orange. Actually, this is a bit lower. And then this pink are the heights that we are seeking, the 28. Bless you.
So orange is at 24.
Yes.
Front pink is at 26, and bigger pink is at 28?
Yes. Am I incorrect, T?
28's at both pink.
Both pinks.
So most of the house.
So most of
so
the
this,
house you want.
No, yeah, so this is, bless you, this is the lower height, and this is, right here, is the 28, which is this pink right here. So this pink is this pink, and this orange is this orange, and this orange right here is this one right here. And I'll be more than happy to leave it with you.
No, I got it.
It's okay? Okay. Thank you.
So you know, if you had just kept the lot coverage 0.76% less, you wouldn't have to ask for this other waiver for the 87.42 on the top?
That's right, Jason. It's about how many square feet? 70 square feet?
Just couldn't make it work.
2%? No.
I'm going to procedurally just ask if this completes your public presentation.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Does anyone else from the public wish to speak at this time? I see no one, so I'm going to close the public portion and turn over the board for comments. Thank you.
Kobe, what Jason said, why couldn't you just get it in the limits? Why did you have to go over that little bit?
It's a young family and recently got married, and between all the kids upstairs that they want to have their kids upstairs with them, that kind of drove it for us. I'll be more than happy to look at it, but we looked at it and, you know, how many square feet would I have to lose? 200? I would have to lose approximately an area of 200 square feet. And you can see the layout on page A3.02. When I carve out the 12 by 12 space, if you will, on the east side, it kind of, and I have the veranda in the front, so I mean, I don't know where else I could cut out the 200 feet.
You have plenty of room on the ground floor, correct?
Yes.
You could add room on the ground floor so it makes the ratio work.
Yeah, that was our problem.
I mean that's...
That's all I was asking, ground floor. Why did you exceed the 70%?
Oh,
no, it's
I mean, 25%?
It's the second floor that exceeds it.
Yes.
Oh, you mean just bring it under 25 and
right,
then
he could do what he wants on top. That's what I was at. I'm just curious. I'm new to this, so I'm trying to understand why you wouldn't just stay in that limit.
Well, that's where it is. I got it. Let me study it because
it's a good point.
It's Taylor just pointed out. Sorry, it's this area right here. So if I leave it open on the side, then it might not count. You know, or maybe I'll float the roof on top and I'll disengage it. But that's why it counts right now in the coverage area, because it's enclosed on three sides.
So that would put you under the 25?
Yes. Will they put me under the 25, Taylor? Yes, it does. It's just that outside veranda notch. Trying to get that veranda feeling of the tropical with the columns in there, but that's where it hurts me.
So then the other waiver is, of course, for the 4 feet of additional height that allows for the floor to ceiling.
I'm not scared of height. I don't like these waivers, but again, I like the variation in the roof height. I think it actually adds to the look of it.
And I also think he's set back the house quite a bit, and he's stepped it in the front, which mitigates it.
I have a few thoughts. As somebody who's raising a young family and living in 2,800 square feet, I don't really have very much sympathy for 5,000 plus. So I'd like to state that for the record. I'm also curious, the letters that you received from the neighbors, are these the people that live next door or immediately next door?
Yes, Sarah. One is immediately to the east. One is immediately across Kitty Corner. We went to the other neighbors. They were not in opposition. And one was not living there. So that was it. But these are the only letters we got. You know, we were able to, in time, get in support.
So you have the abutting property to the east and then across the street, but you failed to obtain the western one.
Correct. But we went to them, James, and we spoke to them, and they're not in opposition. And also directly across. We went to all our immediate neighbors.
And just for the board, the western portion of this property is the more minimal in terms of the massing that they were not able to obtain a support letter from. Mm-hmm. So the more imposing side of the property, they do have a letter of support, mm-hmm. which is a better way of saying what I wanted to say.
And that's the 1475?
The owner?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 75.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Kobe, are you withdrawing the request for the variance for the, or the waiver for the second floor ratio?
Because we can make that a condition, I guess, that it's...
Well, if he withdraws it, then...
That's true. That he's going to stay under 25%.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'll move for approval with the height waiver for the design.
And can we do a friendly amendment to add an additional 1.5 feet on top of the one already above the base flood elevation, so we're at 2.5 feet?
If you're seconding.
And I will second. So, second with a friendly amendment, yes. Thank you.
So it would be the 70% limitation for the second floor volume shall not be waived as proposed, and they'll have to comply with the regulations in one manner or another, either reduction of the lot coverage so that that portion of the regulation doesn't apply, or balance the two. And then the proposed increase in height shall be permitted as proposed. The maximum height of the structure shall be 28 feet when measured from BFE plus freeboard 2.5. So you give them that extra flexibility if they wanted to go to 9 up to 10.5 without having to come back to this board.
Yes.
The only thing I would add is I think the first waiver was withdrawn. Right? Okay.
I have a question too, Jane. I didn't get to see the drawing of the side. Was that something that the staff approved?
The side elevations would, the sketch that I received would comply with E. So we could just leave E in, and when Kobe's team comes for approval, I can reference the drawings here. I would leave that condition in. And then also a condition about added materials along, I don't know where you're proposing it.
Got it. I will. We have it wrapping around the elevations, but I will give you how the materials wrap around the whole house.
So, we have a motion and a second.
So we had a motion by Mr. Steffens with a friendly amendment, second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The project passes 6-0.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
The next file is DRB 19-0497, 2321 North Bay Road. This could be found on page 85 of the distributed agenda package. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story single-family residence to replace an existing two-story architecturally significant pre-1942 residence.
Another one bites the dust.
Good morning. I guess I'm up. My name is Victor Bruce. I'm an architect. My office is in Miami Shores, Bruce and Bruce. If I could have the PDF. I'll go over the package that you have in front of you, and that way we don't have to present anything new. This is the context. The project is located just west of Alton Road, west of the Miami Beach Country Club. Pictures of the area. The top pictures are a picture of the existing house, which is severely under the flood zone. The context of the site, if you can see the pictures at the bottom, there's a couple of what I'm calling non-contemporary style houses that are going up in the street. So we thought and we discussed, the client, which is here, Peter Schatzberg, we discussed some styles that were most appropriate with what's happening in Miami Beach, and he liked not going the contemporary way. So we are following what's already found in the street, which you'll see the bottom pictures, houses right across the street from our site. One of the things that was very important to us in general was not having too much of a massive structure. This is the roof plan, and you'll see that there's multiple roofs. The uppermost roof for the second level is pushed back more than the setbacks require, and then we have several other roofs. We have the garage up in the front. So we try not to have a too massive of a structure, although it's very close to the 50% for the lot area, which is about 10,000 square feet. These are the elevations you were talking about, the elevation above BFE. We went 4 inches higher than freeboard. We couldn't go any much higher than that because then the difference between the level of the house and the pool would be too great, and then if the pool's elevated and our square footage is for rear lot areas, then get all messed up. And we have a really large, nice tree. We spoke with the Department of Forestry, and we also spoke with landscaping about the strangler fig, which we're keeping. It needs to be shaved a little bit, but we're making it so that our pool and the tree work with each other. So we're keeping the tree, basically. You should see that in the, most likely in the arborist report, and the landscaping plan also shows it. It's in the southeast corner of the property. This is the layout for the first floor. Again, parking garage in the front, grand stairway in the center. We have the most important room for the client, which is to the south side. All living spaces in the bottom floor, and including an office. Also the pool, and you can see again in this drawing on the southeast corner, the strangler fig. Second floor, bedrooms, master bath, typical for a single family. You can also distinguish the roofs for the first floor. We have roofs to the south for the great room. You have another break on the north, another roof, and then also a break on the east side. Again, not having massive walls anywhere in the house. This is, again, the roof plans. You can see the slopes. Analysis. You guys see this all the time. And these are the elevations. We have the bottom elevations are street, west side. Bottom is the wall, the fence wall. Then the elevation in the center is the front of the house. Again, breaking the facade, rear elevation also breaking it up so that, again, we don't have a massive structure. Bottom elevation is the south side, the most important room for the client. We call it the great room, very typical for single-family residential projects to have a room like that, but this is literally the great room. On the north side, also breaking the elevation, and this is also where we have our equipment, which we have to have above the flood zone, and a section through the project. I have a rendering from the front. And this pretty much describes how we're breaking up the elevation so that it's not a massive cube. This is from the southwest corner of the house where pedestrian walkway is in the center, vehicular walk, access is through the side, and goes up, pitches up to the garage on the front. The setbacks are greater than they need to be for the volume, for the main volume of the house. This would be the rear of the house. Also, breaking up the elevation, again, no big walls, nothing too massive. And you can see the strangler fig in the corner in the back. Thank you very much. That's my presentation.
Thank you very much. Anyone from the public wish to speak concerning this project? Please come forward.
And, Mr. Chair, we did distribute a letter that we received that I forwarded to your attention this morning, distributed because we received it at a little late in date, but it's from a Mr. Anthony Parks in a concern, and I've also brought it to our city attorney's attention.
And the theme of the letter?
I'm sorry? The letter is in opposition to the application. I just want to ask the board before we open to the public whether any board members have any disclosures to make on this application.
I visited the site.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none.
May I go forward?
Please.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay, thank you. Yes, good afternoon. Good morning. My name is Anthony Parks. I flew in from New York today to address this issue. The situation is this. This house was foreclosed on back early last year. It was foreclosed on based upon some fraudulent transactions. I attached one document, but there's obviously a lot more, and I certainly don't want to take up a lot of your time. The federal authorities are actually looking into this matter now as we speak, because I'm going to assume that we've all read the news. There have been a lot of cases of this nature that have happened pretty much like after the foreclosure crisis back in 2010. Some law firms even lost their license to practice law over the situation. But the long short of it is, generally when it's brought in front of the attention of a judge, it usually gets resolved. The problem with this particular situation is that the chief clerk of court advised the judge that there's some fraudulent transactions going on here. The paperwork that was filed was doctored up, was phony. And the judge chose to ignore it. Initially, it was difficult to sway that. However, without me, interfering with what other authorities are now involved in, there's some reasons as to why the situation was ignored by him. The prior judge stepped down and apparently was asked to do something he didn't want to do, and it went to another judge who apparently decided to comply with the law firm. So what I'm basically stating is that I expect that at some point in the very near future, there's going to be something more addressed with this. And at that particular point, I'll be filing certain actions which will, and if that's the case, then obviously I'm going to formally step into this loop and to object. I don't think that the house should be torn down, renovated most definitely, because I think it definitely, in fact, I was about to do that myself at certain points, but at this point, I don't think the application should be granted, maybe you folks want to postpone it. It's not that I want to interfere with what somebody else does or wants to do, but when something I think is egregious, I think that stopping needs to be put into it, and I'm obviously imposing all efforts to do that. The clerk of the court signed what you have there is a copy of a certificate. And what that does, what that certificate initially states is that the presentations, the paperwork that was presented were, that they claimed that was authentic, is not. A lot more erupted from that, and the federal authorities are reviewing, because apparently when it comes to banks and lenders, it crosses federal law. There's various laws that step into place. And that is the reason for my objection. I guess that's my time's up. I guess that beep. Okay, so that is the reason for my objection at this point, and I thank you for hearing it.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, just one other thing. Just a comment I wanted to make. The gentleman over there mentioned about it was it was brought up with the city attorney, Steve Rothstein. He and I have had several discussions over this. He has had some concerns, and I think that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? I see no one, so I'm going to close the public portion and turn it over to the board for comment.
Okay. Do you need me to stand here?
If you want to stand there, you can stand there. Can staff clarify what we're hearing here? Because you might be outside of our realm of action.
Right. So the board's authority is limited to reviewing applications consistent with the design review criteria in the city code and applications for variances consistent with the variance criteria in the city's related special acts and in the city code. Any underlying dispute as to the ownership of a property, as to a prior foreclosure action, are not pertinent to your limited review of the design that's before you.
Can I say something? Or?
If you're asked.
Okay, sorry.
Comments from the design review board on the design?
So this is a nice house that may never get built?
Yeah, I don't know. So I can start with a few comments, sure. I mean, so again, sad to see a pre-1942 home leaving the beach. And then sort of at the same time encouraged to see diversity in the architecture that's being constructed. So thank you for the renderings. That was one of my comments. It was a shame that you didn't have renderings within your package, because it does help us out as a board understand the project. Your drawings are fairly comprehensive and easy to understand, but the renderings are really helpful, so thank you for that. I'm not on the landscape side of things here. Our landscape member is not here today, unfortunately, but I do appreciate the preservation of some of the trees that are on the site, both at the front, it looks like at the front of the property, and the big tree at the back of the property.
We're keeping the strangler fig and then three palms to the north. Yeah.
Question, I just had a, so how are you having to, because I know the base elevation of North Bay, it's really low, and then your site kind of is sloping up, I see in the sections. Are you bringing do you have to bring a lot of fill into the site?
The code wants us to go up to 6.56,
yeah.
And the sidewalk is at 3.21.
Okay, and is your site currently contained behind, are there two walls? Are you putting walls on each side of your site?
We're adding retaining walls on three sides, on the front, because then future sidewalk will be raised.
Right, okay.
That's quite a...
You're able to contain all the water on your...
And that's going to be part of the trick, which is somewhat of a... I don't want to say hardship, but it adds to the budget to be able to keep the strangler from being covered with the soil that we're adding. So we're basically creating almost like a little notch in the property that will remain low.
Yeah, so that's I see that in the plan. There's kind of like a little wall that will there be a lower property near the near the back
of the tree wouldn't survive once you put that much grade on top of it.
Yeah. I'm very familiar, so I know you have to do those things.
Yeah, the minimum
are you with
yard,
the applicant?
The minimum yard elevation that is required for new construction single-family homes, there's exceptions that for transition areas, for retention of existing on-site tree resources, that they don't have to be at that minimum yard, that they could be through tiers or wells, solutions that can resolve it.
Well, the tree's massive enough that it'll look okay.
Sure.
It'll look
no, good. I think it'll
just,
look
it's
fine.
It's a very big trunk. Yeah, and he's the owner of the property.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here. I'll just finish with my comments. So I think I'm happy to see your, you know, you're building a thoughtfully designed home for, I assume, as a set of owners that you're doing this for. Is this for redevelopment or for specific people?
For living, right. Yeah.
You haven't pushed the maximums on lot coverage. You are, of course, looking for the waiver up on the second floor. But to me, in the big scheme of things, you're actually building a much smaller home than the site can actually would allow by code. So I appreciate you kind of keeping setbacks and landscaping and putting the detail you have into the home on all four sides. So I do appreciate that.
I'd also like to comment, as much as I'm a fan of modern and contemporary architecture, I feel like this design is a breath of fresh air, and it's going to look, if it does go forward, lovely on the street. So thank you very much. So, and I do believe, although I toured the site, and the existing home does need a lot of love, so I feel like this design, the style, really is in keeping with the character of the maybe historical nature of the beach. So again, lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for wanting something different. So.
I believe he wants. Can he?
I just wanted to go on record that this. If
you wish to speak, come forward and introduce yourself.
Peter Schatzberg. I just wanted to go on record that this is the first I've heard of any underlying issue about ownership of the property. My realtor brought this property to me. I bought it. This is the first time I'm hearing any of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the board?
What are they asking for?
It's waiver, one waiver for about 2% over the 70%
on the
second floor limitation.
Yes, I'd also like to say I always like to see sloped roofs every once in a while on Miami Beach. we rarely get to see them over here. I'll move for approval with the waiver.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Project's approved 6-0.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Final application of the day is DRB 19-0498, 98 Lagore Circle. Staff analysis can be found on page 99 of the distributed agenda package.
That's freezing.
An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story single-family residence to replace an existing two-story residents, including one or more waivers and a variance to exceed the maximum building height allowed for a one-story accessory building. Specifically today, the applicant is seeking an increase of the 70% limitation of second floor to first floor ratio. The applicant is seeking 95%. Additionally, the applicant is seeking a waiver of the design of the two-story uninterrupted side elevation along the north side to exceed 60 feet in length without providing additional relief. And then finally, the applicant is seeking a height variance by 3 feet to exceed the maximum height allowed for a one-story accessory structure to be constructed at 15 feet, where 12 is permitted. Staff is supportive of all of the waivers and also the variance for the increased height, noting that a two-story accessory structure can be measured 20 feet in height from BFE plus one, and this accessory structure comports with the same setback regulations as a two-story structure. Unfortunately, the LDRs are fairly silent on one-story volumetric accessory structures. We're working to amend that. So again, this is a structure that's 15 feet in height, where a two-story structure could be 20 feet in height, and it's in the same X and Y coordinates of the increased interior side setback and the required side setback. So just for clarification on why we're supportive of the variance and the supportive of the waivers for the design, seeks mostly open space along the north side, is offset by its neighboring property, which was permitted under prior zoning regulations, and therefore the approval will not have a negative impact on the neighboring property.
Good morning, Board. My name is Raphael Levy from Choef Levy Fishman, 8425 Biscayne Boulevard. I am pleased to present a 98 LaGorse to you today. It's a single-family residence on LaGorse Island, designed in a modern contemporary style, folding in elements of mid-century details. And in particular, we really wanted to incorporate a very tapered kind of feature to a lot of the architectural elements to give it a very distinct style. The concept was essentially that the ground floor would essentially be rendered as a kind of monolithic stone base that sort of splits apart and breaks apart and incorporates some features. We have a cascading waterfall that that falls into a reflecting pond that you walk through as you enter the home. As you walk under the second floor, you enter into an open courtyard and you encounter the front door and the entrance of the home. And this idea is kind of wrapped into the rear of the house as well, where we're using these tapered features to really create a very dramatic depth to the architecture, very thin elements to very lighten up the structural elements and to give it some a feeling of floating. And we're using kind of these wood elements to line the interiors of these beveled features to really enhance the inner glow of light coming out from inside the house. And so you can see here on the site plan, as you enter, you're on axis with the center of the house. In this frosted area here, you're under cover of the second floor walking across a reflecting pond. You're rising a little bit gradually up to the BFE elevation here where we're at. Plus 11, which is BFE plus 3 feet freeboard. And so it's meant to feel very gradual and very slow, and so that when it feels very connected to the ground as well. And aside from this, we also have a video that we can show that will walk you through the project. So we're starting with a view of the house from the front. And that's the garage side. You could see the cascading waterfall beyond. That's the interior courtyard that you walk across to get to the entrance of the home. And here you can see you're undercover by the second floor, and you walk into the open courtyard. This is a view of the rear. So the whole second floor is a mini master. The central volume there is a family room. And the volume on the left is the master suite. All the public spaces are on the ground floor as open as possible out to the view to the pool and the bay. And so we really want to enhance this look of the inner glow. That's really highlighted by the warmth of the wood tones that we're using. We're also using white stucco, a limestone as a cladding material, and then, you know, giving pop to these light colors with a very deep metal frames and metal elements such as those louvers. And then that's the view of the courtyard looking out. So this is as if you're exiting the house. And you could also see we incorporated a green wall as you enter the house as well to play with the reflecting pond, the cascades on the walls, etc. And that's the design of the house. We are seeking two waivers. We're seeking to waive the courtyard requirement on the north side of the house. We feel we don't have any 60-foot long two-story elevations that have no break. There's a lot of ins and outs in this elevation, and we've articulated in such a way that it doesn't feel monolithic or solid. We brought in a lot of articulation into these side elevations to give it, you know, that level of consideration. And so we feel that, you know, because there's no coplanar element that would create such a large expanse on that side, we feel that it's appropriate that that's waived. The other waiver we asked for was for the way the 70% second floor to first. It's an upside-down house. You know, you can see from the architecture there's a lot of movement in and out from first floor to second floor, so we felt that this was also not a waiver that could, you know, harm the neighborhood in any potential way. And then lastly, we have a height variance that we're asking for on the cabana. The red line that I'm pointing to here would be the maximum height permitted by code, which would really compress the ceiling heights for this cabana on the pool deck, where we're up at plus 3 freeboard. Because cabanas are measured from plus 1 freeboard, when we're raising our, you know, when we're going higher than plus 1, the cabana essentially gets penalized in height. We think it's a defect in the code. We feel like the cabana should be able to relate to the architecture much more directly, and so we're asking for this 3-foot height variance so that we can maintain the architectural relationship of the cabana to the main house. And I think that's all I got to say.
And that completes your presentation? Yes. Thank you for the video. Very helpful. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Please come forward. I see no one. Closing the public portion and turning over the board.
And for the last time today, do any board members have any disclosures on this?
Site visit.
Thank you.
Just to add, I have the homeowner here, as well as the landscape architect, who can be available for any questions as well.
Thank you.
Well, it's quiet, but as the non-architect, I think it's a beautiful project, and it's exciting to me. So I really like what you've done here. It's different. It's nice.
Thank you so much.
Well, as the architect, no, I agree for sure. Great job. It looks really, really. I have some questions. Mm-hmm. Just, and you might have mentioned it, the materiality of these wedge shaped. It looks like is it concrete? Is it raw formed concrete, or is it wood, or is
so
it just stucco?
There's a combination of materials. Each condition is a little bit different. The idea is that there's a kind of shell material, and it varies from stucco in some places to stone in other places. When it starts to bevel into the decks and stuff, that would be the wood finish. And it wouldn't be a true wood. We're exploring a kind of aluminum with the wood grains. These days they look amazing and mm-hmm. look just like wood, and they're much easier to maintain. But that's essentially the concept. And we would have a solid element that kind of creates the shell, and then once we go into the shell, the lining would be this warm kind of wood-feeling material.
Yeah, I guess you're calling it out as a wood-looked aluminum cladding or something.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that for me, a lot of this materiality that I see in the drawings and in the elevations, I would just want to make sure are maintained when the house is actually built, and I would just make sure that staff make sure that happens, I guess. Sometimes we see things in the renderings that don't always end up in the actual built form due to, I know there's a lot of things that happen and there's money issues and there's value engineering, but I think one of the big successes of this home are these volumes that you've put in and these angled walls and the materiality that I see in the elevations and the renderings. So I really appreciate that.
To give you a comfort level, we've worked with this developer before. This is not our first project with him. With 73 Palm, he stayed very, very true. Oh, Art Ralph Choef.
Thank you.
he stayed very true to the architecture we designed, and he only builds high-end product. So I'm comfortable he's not changing anything.
Okay. So the owner of the property will not be the occupant of the property. In this case, it's a developer project? Or it's being... Okay.
I'm sorry, could you please introduce yourself?
In this case, he will be.
Okay. Yeah, you can just... You know, just...
Philippe Harari, I'm the homeowner. So in this case, yes, I intend to occupy the future house. So,
okay,
thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate the BFE plus 3. This is great, really nice to see. I'm glad you have the space to kind of create this gradual elevation lift from the street. I think that entry is really dramatic and pretty beautiful, I think, at the same time. So I think that's very nice. Just staff's, the number two waiver, the 60-foot length on the side yard, which I was trying to look on the plan which facade that was, James, or what one you were referring to.
As Raphael explained, it's the north elevation.
Okay.
And it just, although it has so much movement and lack of any major coplanar elements, it just doesn't meet the strict adherence of the code regulation and therefore needs the waiver. But it certainly endeavors the intent of that regulation, which is to stop continuous blank walls. It certainly isn't the instance here, but it just doesn't comply with the two-story open to the sky, 8 feet in depth mm-hmm. requirement.
Need the microphone.
Just use the microphone.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, so as I was saying, as you could see, if you just follow the contours of the north sides of these plans, they undulate quite a bit. There's nothing really coplanar about them. And if you compare one floor to the other, you also see that they don't align. So there's additional movement as you move vertically.
So this is a good example of why we have that regulation, is to stop both good examples through the waiver process as well as what would be bad examples, which would be two-story elevations with no change in plane that just go as much as it can without providing some form of relief, which the code allows. Through the design waiver process, we begin to see elements like that. And that side open space requirement has a lot of substandards, which is why we typically see that as a waiver before the board, and only in very dire instances, the staff, which we never see now, these continuous blank walls that run for 80 feet in length, because at the get-go in the pre-application meetings, the architects know better than to pursue that. And then secondly, I'd just like to bring your attention to, this is another waterfront site. This is zoned RS2 and contains about 32,000 square feet of lot area, and yet there's no discussion on the height. So this has 28 feet as a matter of
right. That's allowed, yeah.
So just putting things in perspective.
And I just want to touch on the variance real quickly here. I believe it was with Ralph that we went through a long, deep dive into why the variance is actually like a technicality. That's a flaw in the regulation.
It is certainly, if not a flaw, it's certainly a disconnect between our regulations. And we saw it recently with another application for the rear accessory structure. Again, you know, staff reviews it that if that one-story structure complies with the setback requirements of a two-story structure, then the code shouldn't be silent on that one-story volume, and that's why we're supportive of the variance request.
I actually have a question about the south elevation. I hope I'm reading this plan right. I'm looking at A3.3. Where it does seem that there is a long, uninterrupted expanse of wall.
So, in the course of our review, staff brought this up as a comment, and we understand the comment. Just to be clear, though, this long expanse of wall that you see here is substantially set back from this facade, about 20 or so feet. So
Sarah,
from the setback.
I'm sorry, Rafa. If you can shoot to 2.2 and kind of go back and forth between the two, where you see the misrepresentation that sometimes elevations have to plan. So 2.2 is that second floor, and you see that it's very much further recessed than if the elevation tends to read as a continuous uninterrupted wall. So that smooth white stucco finish is set back further.
Correct. So if you look on this plan, that's this surface right here, which is already set back from this and substantially set back from the side property line. Nevertheless, we did make an accommodation to break up the facade. We have a bathroom here that serves this bedroom. We added some clerestory windows to allow for some natural light. There's a laundry room here, so we found an opportunity there to incorporate a window. And over here, too, we have a bathroom where we inserted these clerestories. So at least we have a little bit of a articulation there on the second floor, and the volumes are a little broken up.
So staff should recognize those, make sure those appear.
Yes, and so we'll keep the condition in, and then in our administrative review, we'll reference the added fenestration that I see. But yes, Sarah, thank you for bringing that up. And we also thought that it was not so much uninterrupted, but more stark.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking of the neighbor that has to then stare at it. Yeah. You know, no one wants to stare. I'm just driving around the area. There have been buildings that have these solid expanses that are really in not a pleasant contrast with the rest of the homes in the neighborhood. So, thank you.
And I love that a property is big enough and a house is big enough that it can have its own courtyard for its HVAC equipment outside. That kind of made me laugh a little bit. But I appreciate you screening the equipment, basically, I think, is the takeaway there, because now the equipment has to be elevated, of course, above the floodplain, and you see these really strange equipment platforms that are mounted on the sides of all of these big houses that are, and that is actually allowed, I think, partly allowed to be within the setback, so sometimes they're even closer to the adjacent property, and so at least this is a visual barrier, and it will act as a little bit of a sound barrier as well, so thank you for that.
So, James, there's one variance for the cabana building.
That's correct.
And the waivers?
And two waivers for the principal structure.
Which are?
Which are the 70%, bless you, the 70%.
First to second.
Second to first, and which is primarily due to the cantilever nature of the design, as well as having to count that central courtyard towards the lot coverage, which tips it over the requirement. And then second is that two-story elevation, not the one discussing right now, but the other side that doesn't comply with the strict adherence of an open recess.
Okay. So I'll move for approval of the variance first.
So we have a motion to approve the variance by Mr. Stephens, second by Sam. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Variance passes 6-0.
And now I'll move for the design, including the waivers, incorporating the articulation on the, looks like, the south side.
Is there a second?
Second. Jason.
And a second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Project's approved.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
So before we adjourn, which we'll need a motion to, we do have lunch for those that ordered, which I want to make sure that you pick up. With that, we need a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
And thank you very much. Next meeting is April 7th. And we will try to make sure all the applicants are in attendance. As much as all the board members are in attendance.